Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, how about that? Yes, my friends. The Best Show is back on another Tuesday night. My name is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of tonight's episode. We have a lot of fun in store for you. We have Hayes Davenport going to be in studio from Hollywood Handbook. We'll talk to Tim Heidecker in a little bit about his new album in Glendale. But the phone numbers, did I say 201-332-3484? Because we're going to be doing a comment section Hamilton, which everybody wants to see the show Hamilton, and you can't. So what the next best thing is that tonight we will be acting out comment sections in an exciting fashion. But my friends, it's not time for that. It's time for the thing that everybody loves. You know what it is, right? That's right. It's the Best Show hashtag phenomenon. Why wouldn't you play when I hit the button, you rat? You rat. You rat bastard. It's the Best Show hashtag game at Best Show. Play. I'm gonna smash you. Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's right. It's at Best Show. The number, 201-332-3484. And guess what? You call tonight. The hashtag is Star Wars Rockers. I want to hear the bands based on Star Wars characters. Like Watto Stripes. 201-332-3484. At Best Show. Let's get those phones ringing. Give me your Star Wars Rockers, hashtag Star Wars Rockers, and I'm going to give out, what can I do instead of points? Score. That's right, score. I'll get you some score. Let's get it going. 201-332-3484. At Best Show. We good here, Mike? At Best Show, bring it.
Millennium Falco.
Millennium Falco. Love it. Increments. Increments? What am I giving out? Score. I like increments. All right, 201-332-3484. Hashtag Star Wars Rockers. Let's get those phones ringing. I'm just going to take them, Mike. At Best Show, bring it.
Darth Hagar.
Say it again.
Darth Hagar.
Darth Hagar. Love it. Increments. At Best Show, bring it.
Bib Fortuna Turner.
Bib Fortuna, like Tina Turner.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Everybody, great job. At Best Show, bring it. What do you got?
Boba Fetty Wap.
Boba Fetty Wap, right? Love it.
Got it.
Yeah. Best Show, at Best Show, what do you got?
Los Lobot.
Los what?
Lobot, the guy who helps Lando.
That's right. And you know what you get, bro?
What?
You get a whip and you get some increments. Great job. At Best Show, bring it.
Yeah, Chewbacca Turner Overdrive.
Your phone stinks. Sorry, bro. Yeah, you get flushed. At Best Show, bring it.
Yoda Tango.
Yoda Tango, that's pretty good.
Three CPOCs.
Yeah. At Best Show, bring it. What do you got?
ACD2.
ACD2, I don't like it. At Best Show, bring it. Hey! At Best Show, what do you got? At Best Show, bring it.
Luke, I am your father, John Misty.
Luke, I am your father, John Misty. Yeah! At Best Show, bring it. What do you got?
No quarter portion.
What?
Like one quarter portion for Ray and no quarter?
You're out of here, Chief. Star Wars Rockers is the hashtag. At Best Show, bring it.
Empire Weekend.
Empire Weekend? What's that?
Yeah, you know.
No, I don't.
Empire Weekend.
Oh, Empire Week. Yeah, that's a stretch. You're out of here. At Best Show, bring it. What do you got?
Chewbacca Man Turner Overdrive.
Chewbacca Man Turner Overdrive. Everybody out of the tunnel. Yeah, great job. At Best Show, what do you got?
A giant Ewok.
You could have said a giant Wookiee. I like that one better. You're flushed. At Best Show, bring it.
Princess Slayer.
Princess Slayer. Love it. You get two, three whips, four. It keeps going. Five. Increments. At Best Show, bring it.
How about the Emperor Palpatine, Teenage Jesus and the Jerks?
That's not too shabby. Increments. At Best Show, bring it.
Mega Death Star.
Mega Death Star. All right. At Best Show, bring it.
Jabba the Hoople.
Jabba the Hoople. Don't like it. You're out of here. Final ones, Mike. Don't let anybody else in on this. At Best Show, what do you got? Star Wars Rockers.
VOC3POs.
Say it again.
VOC3POs.
Like it. Increments. Final ones. At Best Show, what do you got?
Destroyer, but Star Destroyer.
You're out of here. At Best Show, what do you got?
Darth Side of the Moon.
Say it again now.
Darth Side of the Moon.
Darth Side of the Moon. That's an album title. You're out of here. At Best Show, bring it.
Jabba the Hoople.
We heard that one already.
Ah.
Get off my phone. You're out of here, bro. No more. I'm done with this. I hate it. It's stupid. I could do that in my sleep if I wanted. Do a point-based show. But I don't, man. You know why? Because I do the best show! The best show! The best show! That's right, the best show's back on another Tuesday night. My name's Tom Sharpling. The number to call in and be a part of tonight's extravaganza is 201-3-323-4484. Jeepers Creepers, do we have an exciting show planned for you tonight? The star of Hollywood Handbook podcast, Hayes Davenport, will be in studio. I should say that normally, Hayes Davenport, because if you didn't know, it would be like the star of Hollywood Handbook. Matt. You're not even sure who it was. So I'll say it clearer. And Tim Heidecker is going to call up in a little bit and talk about his new album. What's going on out there? How's everybody doing on this last evening of May? Summer is coming. As they will say on season 12 of Game of Thrones, summer is coming. Right? And speaking of this Game of Thrones, I just want to say something. Not about Game of Thrones. I haven't seen 3 minutes of this thing. You all love it. More power to you. You can't get enough of the whatever it is on that thing. The tree monster or something. It's fighting a leprechaun. I flipped by it one time. And I saw a dragon fighting a leprechaun. And I was like, this is not for me. I like real stuff. Right? The news is the greatest horror adventure story for me. Right? The news. That's my Game of Thrones. So, keeping that in mind, I'm flipping through these websites, right? And lo and behold, what do I see? Somebody sends me a thing and says, hey, Tom, check this out. Vice Magazine. Magazine. Use that loosely. They do a thing. Oh, here's Game of Thrones. We're going to say what happened on different episodes, even though we haven't seen them. They did that like a week or so ago. Yeah. Sound familiar at all? Yeah, a little familiar. Did it 3 weeks ago on the show? Yeah. A little familiar? Then there was a thing like a month ago where Rolling Stone website did a thing. We're going to rate the best duos of all time. Like 2 weeks after I do these things. It's like, it's bad enough I'm hemorrhaging money with this dumb show. Just don't take the stuff. Fourth-rate bloggers, huh? All I gots is what comes out of my mouth. It's all I gots. Don't take that, too. But you take it. You take it, you put it on Vice, and then you got Google grabbing the song, and they're doing a thing. I tell you, man. Burn it down. Right? That should be Bernie Sanders' slogan. Burn it down. What if he switches, like, if he doesn't get the nomination, like, he's just, like, saying, he's talking to, like, his constituents, and it says, feel the burn behind him, and then, like, he pulls a cord, and then it says, burn it down. Like, he, like, switches the message. Since I'm not going to win, this is what we do now. Burn it down. Yeah, stop taking my thing. And then this Jimmy Kimmel, that show, that snake-eyed, right? He's got snake eyes. He's like a grouper. He's got walleye. He's got walleyes. Flat face. Good old flat face with snake eyes. Left and right, they take that dude boosted stuff from the Chris Gethard show, and now he's boosting stuff from the Best Show. Oh, let's do a thing where people, you have a celebrity, and then you have them go through their IMDb, see if they can name the characters from the... Yeah, I remember when I've done that 15 times for the last however many years. There's some writer right now in that room sweating, worried that Kamel's going to hear about this and come in, say... Which one of you thieves is stealing from my boy? No, not my boy. Big announcement tomorrow for the people of New York City. Listen to this, people of New York City. You can be a part of something very exciting. In New York City, not saying where, there will be a Best Show logo will reveal itself sometime tomorrow. And you'll notice it. If you spot it, oh, you'll see it. So this is what you do. First person to get their picture taken in front of this thing and then tweet it to me, you'll win a prize. How about that? And I'm good for these prizes. I sent a couple packs out to the people who did the impersonations, the Tom impersonations. They got their prizes. I gave two people. I gave the other dude one, too. Why? Because he was good also. If you're walking around New York tomorrow and you see it, the Best Show logo, you go, you get your picture, you take a selfie, or you get someone to take it, you in front of it. I don't care how you do it, but you do it. Then you know what? You hashtag it. You hashtag it back to me. Best Show Rules NYC. And this, then anybody who gets their picture taken in front of this Best Show logo, You send it, you hashtag it, I'll send you a sticker or something. Oh, I'll take care of you. We'll figure it out. But tomorrow, New York City, somewhere, a Best Show logo will appear. And you will say to yourself, boy oh boy, that's pretty stupid. But you'll say, you know what? I like it. Biggest. So tomorrow, keep your eyes peeled, New York City. Who's good here, Mike? One's good. Your idea good or my idea good? More your idea of good. Well, let's find out what that means. Best Show.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing well. To whom am I speaking?
Mr. Avalanche Bob.
What? No.
Yeah, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Avalanche Bob. You?
Oh, man, Tom. I got the big right. things happening.
All right.
I had a movie
hey.
From my biography.
Hey. Zip it for a second. All due respect, I'm going to tell everybody who you are.
Okay, cool.
For people new to this show, we just put the phones, we open the phones, and anybody can call. If they've got a working phone, they can get through. Now, this guy is a musician. He's been calling semi-regularly, and he is a New York character through and through. He is a pioneer of a certain brand of music, which he calls, what do you call it again?
Yodeling, punk, snowboarding, rock and roll.
Yodeling, snowboarding, punk, rock and roll. And if you've wondered when all those elements were going to get smashed together, the answer is now. Please welcome Avalanche Bob. What's up?
Hey, hey Tom, I just had a movie open about a documentary of my life.
What?
It's going to be, I tried to get you to go, but I know you worked too, so you couldn't go.
Yeah, I couldn't do
so,
it.
So I tried to get in touch with you, but I couldn't. It was opened at, Truth Be Told Festival at New School in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. People asked for my autograph. The song I did on the show, The Day the Hate Died, I did with my band, it blew mm-hmm. them away.
Now, what is this movie called, Avalanche Bob?
It's called Avalanche Bob. It's a documentary about my life right now.
And where can people see this?
Right now, with only show in there, it's going to be in all the film festivals, but we're going to have a special thing in my church. And it's going to be a very big event because over 100 people want to see the movie. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be pretty big. And it's going in all the festivals. And we're doing an album Monday.
All right. So people can, where can they, is there a place on the computer that they can find out more about this thing?
Yeah, you can go to robert.cribby at facebook.com.
Okay.
Or tweets, robert.cribby at facebook.com. Mm-hmm. Or my website, avalanchebob33.com.
Now, what's the significance of the 33? What's the significance of the 33, Avalanche Bob?
No, that's gone now. I just call it Avalanche Bob and the Snowboard Moguls.
Okay. So it's just, but the website is avalanchebob33.com.
Yes, it is, because I changed the name, yeah.
Sure.
I reinvent myself all the time, Tom.
It's good. It's good to reinvent yourself.
I've reinvented the old too, all different ways. Seven different ways, Tom.
Now, Avalanche Bob, a little birdie told me something about today in relation to you.
Yeah.
Now, I want to say to you, happy birthday.
Hey, thanks, Tom. I'm 40 years old.
But I want to say it.
Because 80 is a new 40, baby, and I am shaking, and I feel 19, dude, and I feel like I'm going to rock the world.
That's awesome. I love it. So I want to say to you, not just say happy birthday, I want to...
You want to hear my new birthday song?
Well, I was going to do something, but sure, you go ahead and do it. Yeah, floor is yours. It's your birthday. You tell me what's what. It's all yours. Go ahead. I won't do it. Go.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, of course. It's your birthday. Gotta hear it.
Happy the day that you were born. Happy the rest of your life. Happy the day that you were born. Happy the rest of your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It just matters what you do. It doesn't matter how old you are. Be young your whole life through. Oh, happy the day that you were born. Happy the rest of your life. Happy the day that you were born. Happy the rest of my life. And you're so done.
Avalanche Bob, the happiest of birthdays to you, and many, many more. And
Tom, I'm tell you where you can see my movie when
yes,
it comes out, okay?
By all means.
And you're going to play our album, right?
What's that?
You're going to play our album when it comes out, right?
The phone, something's not tracking. Of course I'll play it. Of
Tom,
course.
I love you, man. You're the best. You're the best.
Well.
So you take care, man. Want to hear a little rack of punky yodel lady?
Sure.
All right,
you have a great night, buddy. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
If you played that backwards, what would that sound like? Right? I think Satan would be like, yeah, it's, I am in no way affiliated with that guy. My friends, you listen to me, and you listen good. You sit back, because I'm going to tell you about Squarespace! Squarespace. 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 What is Squarespace? Well, first, before I tell you what it is, let me tell you a little story about the time I tried to do something on the computer and I didn't know what I was doing because I don't know code and I'm messing it all up and everybody's getting mad at me and then I'm begging for help and it's a giant disaster. And then the thing that I want you to see, the special things I can do, you can't see them. Why? Because websites are hard. But they're not hard if you got Squarespace in your corner. Whether you need a landing page, beautiful gallery, a professional blog, or an online store, everything is included with your Squarespace website. It's easy, simple, intuitive. You can add and arrange your content and features with the mere click of a mouse. And you get a free custom domain if you sign up for a year. Beautiful templates. They are award-winning. Customizable settings and so much more. All without a single plugin. And 24/7 online customer support. And every member of the customer care team is an experienced Squarespace user working in a Squarespace office. So no matter how technical or trivial your problem might seem, one of the team is online ready to assist you. So here's what you do. You want to get your thing out there to the world. You go to squarespace.com and you start your free trial today. Enter offer code BESTSHOW, BESTSHOW, to get 10% off on that first purchase. Squarespace, build your website, bro. I'm being told to go to the hotline. I'm being told on the hotline is a FP, a famous person. Being told it's a high priority call on the hotline. Hello?
Hey.
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 I know who this is. This is Tim Heidecker.
Hi, Tom.
How are you, Tim?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm up in Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon.
Oregon.
Oregon. What on earth would bring you to Portland, Oregon?
Well, I'm developing it's kind of top secret. I'm developing a show, a TV show, comedy show, kind of a sketch show centered around sort of the weirdos and freaks and people here in this town. I don't know if you're not familiar with Portland. It's kind of, it's like Brooklyn meets San Fran. It's very full of hipsters and quirk. Like, the quirk levels are very high. So we're working, we're putting a sketch show based around those kind of freaks.
So you're going to take it on is what you're going to do.
I guess you'd say spoof it.
Uh-huh. Now, are people up there worried at all that they're going to get lampooned by you?
Well, they don't know it. It's going to be a little mix of sketch and a little hidden camera.
Okay.
So you're it's sort of like if you mixed Saturday Night Live with Candid Camera. That's what we're going for.
Well, that sounds like a fresh approach.
Sure.
Because those are two of my favorite shows, first of all. Saturday Night Live and Candid Camera.
Yeah. And the later seasons of Candid Camera, too, were some of my favorites.
When Alan Funt kind of clearly was taping 15 episodes in an afternoon.
Right.
Like, they're kind of just like, Alan's going to be here on Thursday. We got to blast through half of the season.
Right. What about bloopers and practical jokes with Dick Clark and Ed McMahon?
Yeah, I wasn't such a fan of that. Although they were very gentle, and there was also no way that some of those were not completely staged to promote shows on that network.
They have that detective music that comes in.
And it was always at the end, they were always like, in tribute to the master of the blooper.
Right.
Kermit Schaefer was his name. Like,
oh, wow.
As if they had to pay homage to a guy who, I don't know what he did other than just, like, not throw out bad takes of something.
Like, right. So he was the master of screwing up.
Yeah, but I don't even know if he was. I think he was just, like, a TV producer who was just like, we should take all these these outtakes and put them together. That's a show in itself.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to want to see. We'll call them bloopers.
We've got Ed for an hour.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Let's get him. We got Dick is going to be in, and Ed. Ed can come over from the Tonight Show set. Knockout.
Keep them separated. They do not get along. Save it for the stage.
So Dick and Ed didn't get along?
I don't know that to be true.
They would sit them.
I'm just playing with it a little bit.
Yeah. And you know, Tim Heidecker, at Tim Heidecker, first of all, on Twitter.
Yes, thanks. I'm trying to bring my Twitter numbers up on this call. That's the point.
People's Twitter numbers have flatlined. At least mine have.
I think so.
Doesn't seem to be a hot spot anymore.
I know.
I think everyone who's
winding down.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder up at Twitter if they're just kind of like, look, this thing's wrapping up within three. Just please, let's act like it's still not going down the tank. And try to just, like, nobody, like, don't steal stuff from the office so we can't do our jobs. Like, we all know it's going to be over.
It does feel like the cool kids left the forum a little while ago.
Yeah. And now it's just a lot of spam.
Yeah.
And people looking to argue with you.
Right. I still use it. I still am a functioning Twitter user. But this is not what we're here to talk about.
You know what we're here to talk about? You mentioned that you were, when you mentioned Dick Clark and Ed McMahon, you said you were playing around. Do you know who else is playing around? You are. You're playing around.
Nice segue.
Thank you. Why are you playing around? Well, it's simple.
Go ahead. Sorry, I thought that was a question you were going to answer. I didn't pick up on that. Go ahead.
No, I want you to answer. Why are you playing around?
Well, I'm playing music. I have a band, and we're playing songs and just doing some West Coast dates. Played Sasquatch the other night, and I'm in my musical phase right now, or my musical sidestep project that I'm excited about and very satisfied performing live music, and that's what I'm doing.
So now,
I'm just having a good time.
And unfortunately, The fruits of your labor, if you don't see Tim Heidecker and his band playing live, there's no way to get like a recorded version of what you guys are playing now. That's fair to say?
Not quite. I mean, we did make an album of the song of some of the songs.
So there's an album
in Glendale. There's an album out currently on Jag Jaguar, you know, a real record label, a legitimate source of music, put out the record, and it's called In Glendale, and, you know, they're just a collection of songs by me without a lot of concept behind it, you know, without like this isn't a prank, it's not a candid camera style operation.
No, these are real songs.
Right.
And it's a strangely touching album in a way.
Well, it either is or it isn't, you know? I mean, if it's touching for you, that means I take it as a compliment. Listen, I don't know. I write some songs and put them out.
Well, you.
Sorry.
Well, nobody's asking for an apology at Tim Heidecker. But this album in Glendale on Jag Jaguar is, it's kind of about a dude just living his life. Right?
Well, I suppose some of it is. It's, you know, I had a kid a couple of years ago. It procreated. And I've been able to reflect on that. And I'm not like stopping any other crap I do. But I just had these songs piling up and wanted to put it out. And you know, it feels good to release something that's not just a big gag.
Sure.
It gets a little old.
Well, at some point you wanna say something from the heart, if I can say that.
Sure.
And it feels like these songs are from the heart for you.
That was the original title of the album, From the Heart.
From the Heart. Tim Heidecker.
Some from the heart.
Some from the heart. Others,
yeah, really others, annoying title.
Others not so much. Now, who are some of the influences on this? I hear...
You tell me.
I hear a lot of I picture listening to this album sitting on a beach.
Sitting on a toilet.
Sitting on a toilet?
I thought that's what you were going to say.
No!
No.
Yeah, I picture this album sitting on a toilet is exactly what a... Well, no, or a back deck. You could listen to it sitting on a back deck, right?
That's fine. Yeah, but I mean, you say sitting on a beach, that's starting to sound like, you know, we got Mike Love on lead vocals here.
Mm-hmm.
Jan and Dean style.
Well, if Mike Love heard this record and said that he wanted to get in the studio with you, would you do it?
You'd have to.
You'd have just to see what it was like, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we've reached out to him for various projects, in fact. Have not landed that fish yet, but I think it's one of our goals to do something creative with him, just for the experience,
of
being around him
and to see the cap up close, right?
Yeah, you got to see the cap. Have you noticed something? And I'll attribute this to Greg for noticing this, but that Bruce Johnston is becoming Mike Love.
Bruce Johnston of the Beach Boys.
Right.
Is slowly turning himself into Mike Love?
Yeah, he kind of starts looking like him, and he's wearing the cap. He wears like a similar kind of cap,
mm-hmm.
and he's got it real low. And when you can look up, you know, Bruce Johnston interviews recent interviews, and it's hard to tell the difference between him and Love.
He looks a lot like Mike Love now.
Yeah, I think there's faces. Some energy that's being transferred from mm-hmm. Mike Love to Bruce.
They're going to become
how, like,
one person.
Old couples start dressing the same and stuff? I think like that's what's going on between those
you
two.
You think that Mike Love and Bruce Johnston, they show up and they've got the same Hawaiian shirt on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Color palette.
I'm looking at a picture of the two of them now. Mike Love... He almost looks like an android now, right?
He's looking rough.
There's like a robotic quality.
Yeah.
To him.
Very stiff.
Yeah.
And he's amazing. Like, you know, they say he's this transcendental meditation guy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he'd be like without that in his life? Like he'd have murdered people by now.
Yes,
right?
He would be. A rageaholic. He would have somebody just settling lawsuits all the time.
Capitol Records building would be burnt to the ground. There'd be no Capitol Records building.
Yes. He would just be there kicking it and punching it until it falls down, trying to knock it down with his fists.
Right. But the music is... I'm a Randy Newman guy. I'm a Warren Zevon guy.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things I like that I, when I'm making music, I'm kind of thinking, you know, not necessarily singing in their voice, but, you know, it's like that's kind of my scene.
Sure, it's where you're operating from.
Right.
Now, what if somebody
firing
said,
towards.
Yeah, what if somebody heard it and they said to you, hey, man, I love your album. I hear a little bit of Dead in there.
Oh, no. That's bad news.
What if they're just like, sounds like a little bit of Grateful Dead going on?
You got a really nice, what if somebody said, you got a really nice voice. It reminds me of Bob Weir. Hey, man, that, like, we're on this tour and we're driving, you know, many long hours. And we've been listening to the Sirius XM Grateful Dead channel.
Uh-huh.
Have you gotten into that scene yet?
I would flip by it once in a while, and then I would just be like, wait, this is really what the Grateful Dead sound like?
I know. Like, it's remarkable. Like, it's jaw-dropping that they have a career of any kind, let alone this notable legendary status, because they're terrible.
Yeah, that they would be as bad as they are. And to be the most popular band.
Yeah, like lauded over, and fans are like, you know, people have built their kind of lives around that music.
Analyzing it, just like pouring over. The guy, I'll say this, Tim, the guy who screens calls for me.
Is a deadhead?
He's a deadhead.
See, that's a bad sign.
I know, right? He loves them. He loves. And he'll talk can all he, about, he'll talk so about can he, 78.
Can he like, can he get down to the, like, can he make a case for it that makes any sense to you? Or is it just.
He would play, he's come in and he said, check this out. And he's played these things. And it's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, it's like, it sounds like one of those like Shreds videos of like. But it's like. No, that's what the Grateful Dead, you see one of those things, you're like, oh, this is clearly some people doing tuneless nonsense over
noodling
and saying it's the Grateful Dead. It's like, no, this is one of their most legendary live shows ever.
Right.
This is like the holy grail of.
Like, yeah, my perspective is they were a lousy, like, psychedelic band in San Francisco, just like, you know, putting up basically a sideshow for people to take drugs and dance and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the
and
Roots
Rob,
thing happened.
Probably Rob also.
Right. Then the Roots thing happened with the band and everything. And they were like, just let's do that. Like, well, let's do that kind of music now.
Yeah.
And they made American Beauty, which is a good record. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, like, it's a fine record. Nice songs, pretty music. They made the other one, Working Man's Dead, is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Acoustic, you know, pretty country kind of music. And then that's it.
That's it.
And then they just go out and play Dancing in the Streets and Not Fade Away.
Yeah.
And like Johnny Be Good.
Yeah. Good,
like,
Lovin'.
Let's hear Johnny Be Good for 15 minutes.
Yeah. Good Lovin'. Good Lovin'.
Yeah.
And the, well, what do you think about this, Tim? You're tied with the Grateful Dead just about. You've put together just as many good albums as they have.
Sure.
You did.
Well, the guy in this band that I'm with, the guy that helped me put this record out, this guy Jonathan Rado, who's in this band Foxygen. Do you know the band Foxygen?
I do, yes.
Yeah, they're good. They're good guys. So he's in my band now, where he's playing keyboards, and we've just been listening to the station, so we started writing all these Grateful Dead songs. So we're going to put out like a Grateful Dead album when we get home, because they're so easy to write. We've written six of them in a day.
You mean like new Grateful Dead songs?
Yeah. We're called Deader Than Ever. And here, I'll give you the song titles to see so where we're coming from. Apple Orchard.
Okay, Apple Orchard.
Yeah. Now, can I say the S word on the show, or are you going to hang up on me?
You just say S, if you could.
Okay. S Stained City.
I could picture that as like a, because it's like
best thing fitted, everybody lit it, you know, it's just like a rocker.
Yeah, and all down. Down
Moses Lake, down Moses Lake, and that one's just like about. It's like a song describing this guy making love to his woman in the middle of the day by a lake.
Yeah. Rather than being at work.
Or like, yeah, it's just gross. It's like sweaty, nude man making love to a woman, like right at a lake, like where, you know, where the water meets the rocks of a lake. It's horrible. And then we do a cover of A Hard Day's Night.
That's a perfect.
Yeah. But it's like really annoying because, like, it's a hard day's night. It's just real weird time signature for it. I've been working like a dog.
Like, yeah,
it's
like
a hard day's night.
Yeah. Like they're finding the core. They think like they're finding the core of the thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mike. Living on a river.
Living on a river, Mike.
Yeah, living on the river. It's, you know, songs about jamborees and festivals.
What if this happened, Tim Heidecker?
Yeah.
You do this album. You play live. Suddenly, there's 30 times as many people that are at one of your shows are there suddenly. And then you find yourself. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, I'm trapped.
You are the Grateful Dead all of a sudden. And you're
we can only assume that there was a moment when the band looked around and goes, this is what they want?
Yeah.
They want dancing in the streets?
Yeah, they don't want us to... They want more of this?
Jerry, did you notice, like, nobody left when we did 15 minutes of dancing in the streets?
No one left.
In fact, like, more people came in.
Yeah.
I apologize for my dead voice.
And then suddenly, they're like, how much money did we make tonight? And then they're just like, I think I know what we're going to be doing. Like one guy in the Grateful Dead talks like that. I think I speak for the rest of us when I say, I think I know what the rest of our year is going to be like.
Yeah. Robert Hunter, the lyricist, finds out that, I hear you guys are doing lots of covers. Like he's like a little worried about his job because they don't need his lyrics already out there.
Yeah, because they're doing
Not Fade Away.
Not Fade Away. Yeah, they're doing a 75-minute version of Not Fade Away.
Do you think would happen if Buddy Holly came back?
Can you imagine
stumbled into a Grateful Dead show in '93 and they launch into Not Fade Away for 25 minutes?
Yeah, could you imagine Buddy Holly? crosses back over to this world.
Giant Stadium.
Walks into Giant Stadium in 1989 or whatever. And somebody's like, and he's like, hey man, that's my song. And then he's like, I think, wait, no it isn't. And then 10 minutes later, so like, wait, no, yeah it is. And 5 minutes later, he's like, no, it isn't. He's like, wait, no, I think it might be, though. I'm just not sure. And he's like,
they can't sing. They can't sing. They can't harmonize with each other. No one in the band is listening to the other people playing.
No.
It's really something else.
Bad news. It's bad news, Tim.
I know it's a trope to, like, go after the Grateful Dead, and I feel bad that we're spending that much time on it, but it's kind of like it needs to kind of, I think, be talked about a little, you know, here and there.
I think there's so many people saying that they're actually good. That it's just like, we have to, like, hold to this.
Hold the line.
Yeah, we have to hold this line, because eventually you'll turn around, there'll be nobody saying they suck still.
Right. Yeah, there's got to be, like, millennials, like, rock young, like, 20-year-old rockers who are like, I actually think they're pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Pretty good, pardon me.
Oh,
pretty good.
You.
I can't, Tom.
No, I know.
You relax. You put me into a place of relaxation and comfortability here. So my apologies.
It's all right. All right? It's all right.
Okay.
But I do. I have to bring my next guest in.
Okay.
Now, let me just say this, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
Your album, In Glendale, I've seen you play live. I've seen you play these songs. It's great. People got to check this out. People got to check the album out. People, if you're on the West Coast, you see the band live.
Come up and say hello.
You come up and say hi. Maybe you get something signed. Man, maybe not. Sure. Maybe that's pushing it. Don't. Just say hi, right? Just say hi. Is that your favorite interaction with a fan? Hey, Tim. Hey, man.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Pat on the back.
Yeah.
I'll take a pat on the back.
You'll take a pat on the back. Great job, Tim. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Like over the barricade, like you're just doing it. You're trying to like navigate this, like with still like a stage barricade between the person patting you on the back.
I try to like do the eye contact for the minimum. Like I do want to make eye contact.
Yeah.
It's rude not to make eye contact, but you don't want to carry that on more than you need to.
No. So that's what people can look forward to at these West Coast Tim Heidecker concerts.
Yeah, big time fan interaction. It's a fan event.
But you know what?
It's all about,
They're going to go and you're going to do the thing and they're going to be like, you know what? I don't need to say hi to this guy. He said hi to me through his music.
That's very well put.
Yes.
Very well put.
So in Glendale.
In Glendale. And, of course, the new season of Decker is coming as well. Right. We didn't get to talk about that, but you don't need to know anything other than to watch.
Can't wait. Decker, my favorite.
Nice talking to you, Tom. And I want to just make a note that this is the only time I've ever talked to you not in some kind of, you know, steeped in some kind of bit.
It's true. This is it.
After 10 years of like, occasionally calling in and having fun with you and your show and your wonderful audience. Yeah. I just want to say thank you for being supportive and a friend.
Oh, well, thank you. And also, this will not happen again. This version of you. Like, enjoy it now. Because this guy.
That would be so preposterous to make that announcement.
Yeah, if you're
like
just
anyone
like.
Cares.
You're like, and this guy is gone.
And like that?
Yeah.
He's gone.
And yes, there goes.
Like grasping a ghost.
And there he goes off into the distance. Well, Tim, you know how much I love you, and I will talk to you very soon. And the album's great.
All right.
And
thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Bye.
Bye. But that Tim Heidecker checking in. You like that, Mike? Mike's mad now. Mike's mad. He didn't like that Grateful Dead talk. He takes it personally. You know what else Mike takes personally? His t-shirts. That's right. Now you listen to me. Here's the other big announcement tonight. Mike, you want to come in here for a second? Oh, and by the way, let me say, I forgot to say this. We started the show off with OBN3s. A really great, they're such a great band. Such a fan. I saw them in Nashville a few weeks ago. That's from their album Worth a Lot of Money, which is on 12XU. And the song is What Happened to You? OBN3s. So great. I love it so much. Check it out. 12XU Records. Can't go wrong. Mike?
Yes.
So you, Mike.
Yes.
People know you as the guy who you have a you work at Massa's Tavern in Bayonne.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you have an exciting announcement to make.
I do.
Well, first, you got to click the energy down a little bit. we don't want people getting freaked out. Don't go full Howard Dean on everybody.
Okay.
I do. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, I thought it was going to be a little bit of an intro.
Do you want a drum roll?
I do. No, I'm going to start selling some T-shirts. I've already rolled them out at the bar with the regulars. You know, they don't get charged because, you know, they're my regulars.
Well, this is not what you talk about when you're trying to sell something, first of all.
Yes. Okay. But, yeah, now I'm going to put them up on sale. I think it's, to me, I think it's a, it's finally a time for an alternative to the ubiquitous CBGB shirt. Mm-hmm. And I think Mass's Tavern, you know, I think is the counterbalance to that. Mm-hmm. And it's a really nice looking shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You helped me in its design and production.
As did Jeff Owens.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm calling it Harvard style, as that was sort of the inspiration for the shirt.
Yeah. So it says Mass's Tavern.
Yeah.
And people can find out about these shirts where now?
apmike.bandcamp.com. I'm going to put it up shortly. I've got a great picture of Pat wearing the shirt, which is, I think, a better sales pitch than if I was pictured wearing it. What are we going to do, 20?
20.
20. $20. 20 that includes shipping. So
within,
you know,
yeah, within the U.S.
Yeah, yeah.
20 within the U.S. You go to apmike.bandcamp.com tomorrow?
I think I'm going to have it up shortly.
Oh, tonight.
Keep watching, yeah.
Yeah, good.
I'll put the link up on Twitter, and everybody can check it out.
You go and you buy a shirt from AP Mike. You help them out. Help them out.
And it's a good-looking shirt. Yeah,
it's a great shirt.
Yeah.
Masses. We'll get a little bit of masses on you.
Yeah, a little flavor.
Right?
Yeah.
A little bit of Bayonne on
not
your back.
Not just a bar. It's a lifestyle.
All right, get out. Seriously, get out. That's the worst thing I ever heard in my life. Get a little bit. He's working against himself with these things. First, he's saying he gives them out at the to the fine regulars at Masses. He's trying to sell these shirts. He starts talking about how he gets them for free to some people. That's not how you sell them. All right. We'll bring Hayes Davenport in a couple minutes. You see this movie, Now You See Me. Now You See Me. It's like a magic movie. Now imagine this. A movie in which people do magic, but they're not actually doing magic. It's all CGI, right? You ever want to see Jesse Eisenberg throw his hands all over the place and then do a magic trick that you did not think was possible? And it turns out it actually is not possible because they just made it up with computers. Now, this thing's apparent. This is, like, popular. They made a second one. Now You See Me too. No, I don't. I saw the first one. I saw, like, 15 minutes of the first one. It's the dumbest thing I ever saw in my life. The idea, watch this magic trick I do. I go and then I swing my hands around and I fall and I turn into a puddle. Well, that is an impressive trick. Yeah, I didn't actually do it. The post guys did that one. Well, is there such a trick in magic? No, there's not. There's no version of this trick in the actual magic world at all. Now You See Me. Dude, who made it so the first one was that popular? Because it's got Jesse Eisenberg and others. And Dave Franco. Boy, that's a...
Two for the Jesse Eisenberg, Dave Franco movie, please.
Which one? Poor ticket taker. Not sure what to do. Now You See Me. I can only imagine. Oh, good heavens. So, yeah, go to apmike.bandcamp.com. Very soon, Mike's going to have his shirts, his Masses shirts on sale. You check those out. And you buy one. I also was on How Did This Get Made? The podcast with Paul Scheer and Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael went up live, I believe, on Friday. It's a really funny episode. You can check that out. Is Hayes here by any chance? Mike? He is? Okay, as they get settled, I'm going back to the phones. Who's good here, Mike? Best show.
Hi, is this, Tom Scrimpler?
Well, no, it's Tom Sharpling.
Tom, this is Milt Hayes.
Milt Hayes. Hi, Coach Hayes.
How are you tonight?
I'm good. Now, for people out of the area might not know about the AA minor league baseball team we have here, the Newbridge Ratmen, and Coach Hayes is the coach of the Newbridge Ratmen. Baseball. It's baseball, too. It's not. So, Coach.
Yeah, son, let's just cut to the chase, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have an apology to deliver unto you.
You sure do, Coach Hayes. And, I mean, I guess I can tell everybody what this is in relation to.
Okay.
Yesterday's game between the Ratmen and the Westbridge Wagon Wheeler Builders, I was throwing out the first pitch. And it was something I had dreamed about my entire life, and it was a real honor to get to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a special thing. Only a handful of people in your line of work have ever been asked to do it. Mm-hmm. G. Gordon Liddy, the Grease Man, Jackie the Joke Man, Mancow, who else? Curtis Sliwa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, that's not exactly the most glowing company to be lumped in with, but
I think they're all upstanding broadcasters. And I do want to say to you, your throw was actually a good throw. And I think had you not had fudge all over your fingers, the ball would have gone right down the pike and not into the outfield where it actually ended up.
Well, look, I that part was definitely on me, I'll say, and I probably should have wiped my hands on that that Ratman rat rag that was a part of that complimentary gift bag.
Right. You know, say what you will about the Ratman front office, they do provide the best gift bag in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's odd, but it's nice that what I got for being honored by throwing the first pitch out.
It was good stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. There was a T-shirt in there.
Right.
That I'm not even sure how to say this on the show because I try to keep.
You can do it.
I'm a rat man.
Right.
Deal with it or die, comma, B. Like, right?
that was my idea.
Yeah, that was you? Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Then you had these, which I had never seen these before, and I'm not a meat eater with that. You had these Slim Jim Megas, which were like really thick Slim Jims. Like they're
big.
They're like sausage logs.
Yeah, yeah. They're tasty. Did you have any?
I didn't. No.
Yeah.
There also was a Hut Pod in there.
Yeah.
Which is like Radio Huts I guess the, it's like their iPod.
Yes, yeah.
And I thought it was a 1 gig HUTPod. I was like, wow, that's not a lot of memory. But it turns out it's a 0.1 gig. And it's already like preloaded with all this late period Frank Zappa on it that you cannot delete off of the thing.
Oh, you don't like that stuff?
No, I couldn't get it all. It seems like it's on there permanently. So there's not a whole lot of room to put anything else on it.
Right, right. But do yourself a favor and play the first track.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good, and it's what do they call it? It's like it'll end up being an earworm. It goes like this. It goes jazz fart, doing that jazz fart rig.
Okay, I'll check that out. That actually sounds pretty good.
It's a good song. It's mm-hmm. probably his least condescending song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he did not like people.
He did not. No, he thought everybody was beneath him. I think he's probably up there in the, when he got to the pearly gates,
mm-hmm.
he probably just said, oh, just let me in. I'm smarter than all of you guys, all right?
Yeah, or he probably went, is there like a higher level of heaven here?
Exactly,
to just
yeah.
be like, yeah. am I really going to be in there with the rest of these people?
That's it, yeah. Yeah, I could see that, definitely.
The other thing in this was Gus Brennan is one of the top Ratmen players.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a bobblehead, but it's actually more like a bobble face.
Yes.
Which I'm not sure if I want to set this thing up. It's very troubling. It's
well, you
just
know,
a face look, that shakes.
It does. It's pretty creepy. And, you know, actually, what that is,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of a pre-death mask that we took one night when Gus was passed out during a game in the outfield.
So, like a very traditional thing.
Yeah.
A death
yeah.
mask.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's what this bobble face is?
It is, yeah. He doesn't even know about it yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, you know, the bag did have some cool but weird things in it.
The weird, wild stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's
that?
It's Johnny Carson, right?
Jack Parr.
Jack, I don't think it's. I think it was Johnny Carson.
Sure, it is. Wasn't it?
I'm almost positive it was Johnny Carson.
Oh, I'm thinking of John Parr, who did. What was his song?
Naughty, naughty.
Naughty, naughty. He had another song too.
St. Elmo's Fire.
St. Elmo's Forest Fire.
St. Elmo's Fire, not Forest Fire.
Wasn't Forest Fire?
I don't think Forest was in
okay.
there.
Okay. Well, anyway, look. That's neither here nor there. I want to apologize for the way the crowd treated you after your pitch.
Okay, well, we really can do without getting into that.
No, they had no right yelling those things at you.
I really, seriously, you don't have to go into this.
Those things like, off the top of my head, get off the mound and let another uncoordinated bald ape throw one. What else were they saying? Nice job, fudge fingers. Who let the white Ben Wallace into the stadium? Hey, idiot, auditions for the creature in the black Fred Perry shirt are happening next door, not in the stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still can't believe someone actually got a banner together that said that on it. You know, I mean, you weren't even announced ahead of time as throwing out the first pitch.
Uh-huh, yeah. No, it's odd. It's very odd. And that's enough. I mean, is there anything else, Coach, that you have to apologize to me for?
Yeah. I'm very sorry for the things that the fans, and I'm using air quotes. Have you heard of these things? Everyone's using them now.
Air quotes? Yeah, I've heard of air quotes before.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for the things these so-called fans hurled at you from the stands. Okay. Very disrespectful.
I really don't want to get into.
Like rancid fetid fudge. What else was there? There was a mud pizza. Mm-hmm. Oof, they're terrible.
Yeah.
A dirty mattress.
Yeah.
There was that urinal.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You in effigy.
Uh-huh.
Then there was that kiddie pool filled with red jello and a sign that was stuck into it that had the words, "Your dumb ape blood," written on it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't know how these goons found the time to put this together. It's like they came to the stadium with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which surprises me because nobody in our organization that I spoke to had ever heard of you.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I assumed we had, after we had the second drummer from the Gas Station Dogs without Barry Dworkin, mm-hmm. that all the other local celebrities, and there are those air quotes again, I figured they'd already, anyone who was a celebrity in town had already thrown out the first
ball. Sure. Okay. Well, that's very hurtful that you'd say something like that.
Well, I'm just telling like it is. But that's besides the point, son. It was wrong for me to lose my temper and slap you back and forth across your face like Mo did to Larry Curly, Shemp, Joe B, Joe D, and little-known stooge Tim Tim with a catcher's mitt. That was really wrong and off base.
Yeah, well, thank you, but you did more than just that, Coach. You did
this
more.
This is about me tying donuts to your arms and legs and then submerging you in the clubhouse whirlpool, mm-hmm. isn't it?
I did. That was extremely frightening. But there was actually one other thing, and yeah, you know.
I think I know what you're referring to.
I'm sure you do.
It's when I pulled out one of the clubhouse toilets, and then I smashed it with a baseball bat, and I tried to carve my initials into your face with the shards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that was pretty much by far, at this point in my life, the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. And I just want to know why did you do that? And why did you react the way you did when that ump made a bad call? Like, it was like the third inning, right? Like,
yeah.
It was like moments before that in the third inning.
I know. Look, Tom, I'm not perfect. There was only ever one who was.
Oh, okay. So you're smearing religion on this now.
Well, I'm just making a point using someone as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, look, it's no secret that I don't have the best relationship with my son, Mikey. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He wrote an open letter to you in the Newbridge Herald Republican Times Herald that was very hard to read. That was really. If I remember, he compared you. I think he said you were like that you made the great Santini look like Sam Bowden, which is Gregory Peck's character in Cape Fear.
Yeah, he did say that. That was very, very hurtful.
Uh huh. Which I thought was interesting because your son Mikey is what, like 7 years old?
Yeah, he's seven, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's incredibly smart. He's like a young Orson Welles mixed with that possessed doll, in that movie that goes, I love you! I'm going to kill you!
Oh, that's terrifying.
And that's the scariest thing when a doll comes to life like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's that movie that Clint Black was in? The Trilogy of Terror.
It was Karen Black, not Clint Black. Clint Black's a country singer. And it's Trilogy of Terror.
Okay, well, I guess I'll have to look that up, but I don't know.
It's not Clint Black. So, and I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of dolls in our society, I feel like there's a pact we make with them that they're not going to do that to us.
Oh, the Doll Pact of 1784, yes.
Which
that's a real thing.
Yes, and I believe you on that because there should be some sort of implicit agreement that a doll is not going to start...
Not going to come to life.
Mm-hmm. Not going to come after you.
Yeah, yeah. Stab you in the most likely in the calves, but sometimes, some of these dolls are tall. They can get in the upper haunches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what happened to Anne Margaret.
Wait, what happened to Anne Margaret?
She got stabbed in the upper haunches?
By a doll.
By a doll, yeah. It was a deleted scene from Tommy.
Okay.
Pre-baked bean bath.
Uh-huh. So before, do you even know what song in Tommy would correspond with a tall doll stabbing her in the upper haunches?
Oh, Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah, because he Tommy gets a present for Christmas. He unwraps it, and it's a stabbing doll.
Okay.
An English stabbing doll, which is the worst.
Those are very scary.
Yeah.
Because they're like Cockney.
They are, yeah. Actually, the Cockney Rejects did a concept album called The Stabbing Doll, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Stabbing Doll?
It's a stabbing doll, comma, right, comma, mate, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's two rights in it.
Okay.
No, wait. It's The Stabbing Doll, comma, right, in it, question mark.
Mm-hmm. Like, a stabbing doll, right, in it?
You do a great English accent.
Oh, thank you.
Can you do...
Okay, I like this.
Like, all right, like, John Bonham...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just like going down to the fruit and veg and getting, you know, asking for, I don't know, produce.
Okay.
So, the produce of your choice.
So he would say something like, "Oi, how much for these?" That was bad. Oi.
No, it's pretty good. Like, no, he's from the black country, so he, yeah. You know, he would talk like a thug.
How much for this celery?
That's really good. Now, do that scene that was in Vinyl a few months ago where, you know, how like in real life he was kind of the whip cracker in Led Zeppelin and he would get the guys up on stage so they could go on stage to open with that Eddie Cochran song?
Sure.
Because,
oi, Pagey, Plant, showtime, mates. Let's get on stage. Now. Time's money, eh?
It's really good. Now, can you do Mini Peter Grant?
Mini Peter Grant?
Yeah, like the Peter Grant that was actually in Vinyl.
Look here, mates.
I think his voice was way higher because he was so small.
Look here, mate.
That's good.
Like that. Look here, mate. We're playing two nights at Madison Square Garden. Like that?
That's great. You're really good at it. You're really good. You know, I feel like we've gotten so far off course, though.
Yeah. I'm talking to the coach of the Ratmen.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you're having me do impressions of bands.
Well, it was fun. It was fun. I'm sure it was fun.
No, it kept it off target. Kept you off target from your apology.
No, it didn't.
I'm sure it did.
All right. Well, look. Anyway. My son, Mikey, he came to the game yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very rare event, you know. I mean, he never comes, and like I said, we don't have a good relationship at all. And I'm doing everything I can to repair that relationship after I left him and his mother for that flagrant skank, Sheila Larson.
Ugh.
I know, that couldn't have gone worse, right?
Okay.
First she drained my bees, and then she drained my bank account.
Oh, stop it. That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Are you having a party there?
No, people are just laughing at how repellent that was.
Okay, well, look, anyway, what was that?
That was me.
Okay. Oh, did you fart?
No, I was coughing.
Okay. Well, look, anyway, I've been trying to make it up to Mikey,
mm-hmm.
and I know that he doesn't think of me as a powerful father figure.
Okay.
So when umpire McDermott made that bad call,
mm-hmm.
I took it as my cue to show Mikey that I could stand up for myself and the team, and I guess I lost my head.
And you went off.
I went off, I trashed the dugout, and then unfortunately, you were in the line of fire.
Yeah.
And I wanted Mikey to see that I was in charge and also capable of extreme violence like he sees in his video games. You know, he loves those video games like Mortal Death Rage 4 and Hooker Killer 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you wanted to show him that you could match the violence of a video game.
I did, yeah. And as
so that he would look up to you.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, like all kids look up to their fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I want to take this opportunity to apologize to you and anyone else who might be listening who was at the game. I'm sorry. It will never happen again. You know, I've learned my lesson. I've been suspended for a few games. Mm-hmm. But I have to say it was worth it.
How
Mikey so? And I are getting along great right now.
Okay.
Yeah, we're really bonding as a son and a father. What's that, Mikey?
Oh, he's there?
He is. I thought you liked Diet Mr. Pibb, no? Oh, you like Mexican Diet Mr. Pibb. Well, it's the same thing, isn't it? Sure it is. How is it not? Oh, my God.
Wait, what is that?
Oh, my God. Mikey, what's happening? Oh, my God, Mikey, you're rabid. Like Cujo in the book and subsequent film Cujo, : the rabid dog. Ah! Oh, my God. Ah! Oh, my God.
That's your son?
What is going on? Mikey, no! Mikey, no! Oh, my God! Oh, my God, Mikey, your arms have become chainsaws! Like in that campy Bruce Campbell film, Army of Darkness. What's that? Sam Raimi, who's that? Bruce Campbell directed that. All right, well, let's IMDb it, okay? Hang on. Oh, my, oh, you are right. Oh, my God, no! My arms are getting sawed off!
Oh, my God. Mike, how about that? Mike. People, you get your shirts up yet? Working on it. Again, everybody go to apmike.bandcamp.com. He's going to sell these masses shirts. How about that? Mike's making a little run at it, right? He's going to sell these shirts like crazy. He's going to make more money on this show in 1 week than I've made ever. I'm going to barf when he does. Just a sour stomach. When he sells... And you know the thing with him is he'll flash it around. It's sickening. And I'll say, you know what else is sickening? Last week, I guess, was Fleet Week. Guess who was strutting all around New York City dressed in a naval outfit? That's right, AP Mike. He was bragging to me that he went into Katz's Deli and that he made everyone salute him and then ordered like sandwiches. And then when he came time to pay, he just said, "Bill it to the Navy." Mike, you got to stop that. It's going to catch up to you sometime. It's called stolen valor. And it's not cool. You know who is cool, though? Hayes Davenport, my guest. Hi, Hayes.
Hi, Tom.
How are you?
Oh, so excited. Let me fix my headphones really fast.
Yeah. Get your headphones fixed. You can probably pull that mic up a little bit.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
There you go.
It's so easy to do whenever I listen at home, I say... You know, just pull the mic. You know, these people don't know.
No,
but and then it's hard to know.
Then you're in the seat, and you're just like, "But what am I supposed to do?"
Yeah,
I didn't know to put the mic up.
This stolen valor thing is really—it's
sickening, right?
I think it's. I don't know if he knows the difference now between fiction and reality in terms of this thing.
He was bragging to me. That he was carrying a woman around like an officer and a gentleman.
Yeah.
All over New York.
Yeah.
And he had that song, "Love Lifts You, Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong," from that movie, playing on a boombox. the woman was the boombox. He put a wig and lipstick on a boombox.
Wow.
And was carrying it around like an officer and a gentleman.
Yeah, you can't do that.
All around New York. Then he went down to the harbor, to the west side highway. And he went on the Intrepid, which is like a decommissioned ship, and he was declaring war. He said things like, raise the mizzen mast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a battleship. Yeah. There's no mizzen mast on that.
He was out there in the room when I was waiting to come in. Mm-hmm. He was taking calls and sort of caressing a folded flag.
Oh.
Just like, and I was like, what is that? And he's like, oh, it's just for some guys we left behind.
Yeah, but it was
in Spain, I guess, or wherever, or in Mexico. Wherever.
It was Spain, but it wasn't even a Spanish flag.
Uh-huh.
It was a flag that hangs. It's a Burger King.
Yeah, yeah.
From Spain, it's the flag they fly out that just says Burger King on it in Spanish.
Yeah,
and he was claiming that this. Mike, just knock it off. All right?
You can get in big trouble for that.
Yeah. Because when these military dudes... Look, am I scared of these Navy guys? No.
No.
I got in like 12 fights last week. Yeah.
It's not Memorial Day anymore. No. You know, you could pretend to be scared of them on Memorial Day.
I'm 12-0 against these Navy guys over the past week. I'm 12-0. And that's 12 fights. It was usually 3 to 5 of them versus me.
Not 12 guys, 12 fights.
Yeah, it's probably like 60. So like
60 guys.
60 guys over the course of 12 fights. Mm-hmm. So I'm not scared of them. But everybody else, man, look out. Those guys come after you. They'll get you. They're tough by other people's standards. Are you going to see Now You See Me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You better believe I'm going to see it. Who's your favorite Four Horsemen?
Not Jesse Eisenberg.
J. Daniel Atlas?
No.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a Merritt McKinney guy.
Okay.
And I'm going to miss Henley Reeves, who's not... who's not returning, and I guess we'll find out why. Maybe because the actress playing her almost died making the first movie.
Yeah, that might kind of discourage
drowned
you.
Drowned in a faulty water tank.
Oh, could you imagine?
I also like Jack Wilder.
Jack Wilder.
The Fourth Horseman.
Who are these people?
Those are the Four Horsemen.
Who are these people? It's like Jerry Seinfeld hearing about Now You See Me. Who are these people?
You got Jack Wilder throwing cards?
Because they're like doing these magic tricks that aren't in any, have nothing to
but
do
they
with
still
magic.
Use, they seem to be able to manifest anything, mm-hmm. but they still use like birds.
Yes.
For almost everything they do, they use birds as a distraction.
They can change weather and things like that, like summon lightning.
Yes.
But then they'll also like, throw a card at you. Like, you'll get hit by a playing card.
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems like one of those things where they're going to be like, here we go, back up the money truck. Now You See Me too. And it's suddenly like, you know when people like drive around from theater to theater, like when you always hear about like famous people just like, it's opening weekend, we just drive around, we see, and just picture them like, you guys might not want to drive around and check this out. Why? Seriously, just whatever you do, don't let Jesse get in the car and drive from theater to theater. Wait, is it that bad? Oh, it's bad. Like, they'll just walk him into, like, X-Men and be like, look at this crowd, buddy. They're all
Week three of X-Men. They're like, oh, this is great.
Still beating. Still
that's
beating.
A great those movies are great too for like Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine, all their scenes. You will never see them stand up, sit down, or take a step on screen. Yeah. It all happens off camera.
In an office somewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
Just like...
They're on like two different sets over the course of the thing. And you sort of get the impression that each set is, like, rotates around to become the other set.
Yeah. So they can just be like, all right, then we'll bring, okay, we'll just keep rolling. And we'll, by that point, Michael will be prepped. So it's just this circular stage that swings around.
Yeah. I was thinking about this last, when you were talking about Las Vegas last week. Morgan Freeman has been in two movies now where the premise is that he's about to die. Bucket List and Las Vegas, the idea behind those movies, when they tell him what it's about, it's like, so you're very old, you're going to die soon.
So.
And you want to do like one last thing before you, you know, you before you die.
So he's, imagine his agent fielding just, I wonder if they just put like a stamp, like a thing on it that just says like, or there's two piles. They're like, this is the pile, the ones where he dies in the movie. These scripts over here are ones where he lives to the end of the movie. Yeah. And there's just this giant just pile.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't have anything where I make it to the end of this thing? Bucket list. Oh boy. Now, Hayes, Davenport, host, co-host of Hollywood Handbook.
Yes.
Heard on the Earwolf Network.
Yeah.
We're going to do something tonight where we will, I can't get in to see this Hamilton. Have you seen Hamilton?
Yeah.
You did.
We did go see it. Yeah, we got in. We got in. I learned a lot.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Did you, like, take notes during it?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know all about these history guys going in, but they taught me about it in a fun way.
So you just came out just telling everybody else about it?
Yes.
Like 90
minutes? It's the way, you know, I don't absorb that information unless it's, like, exciting, interesting, in a way that I can, like, understand. People my age can kind of get.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the music I listen to.
So they're like, if you want to learn... If we want these kids to learn, let's put it into a theater where the supply and demand are so wildly skewed.
$800.
Yeah. So that they either have to wait 2 years or pay $800 for one seat to learn about these things. And, but then for you, it seems like it was worth it. Like you learned a few.
Yeah, I learned a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That I can sort of tell people about now.
But most of us, the people nod on Earwolf and we don't have the pull of that. And I'm sure just a call went in and it was just like, we got,
That was an ad trade deal. You know how you have with advertisers, I'm sure they'll sort of wine you and dine you to get you just to accept money from them.
Yeah.
In order to
an ad. This was like a greasing of the wheels.
Yes. Yeah.
Just like, what if we throw some Hamilton tickets his way?
Yeah.
Then, yes, he will read that.
This was a loot crate.
The loot crate. He will tell everyone about that this month's loot crate is Walking Dead.
Yeah, a Deadpool sticker. It is a Walking Dead themed box, but they're like, oh, Deadpool. Yeah,
they don't know. Look, these nerds you just picture the contempt at loot crate. Look, I went to one of these Comic-Con things. These kids are animals. Put anything in the box. They don't know the difference.
Yeah.
Just, and then.
You could see a guy just like opening up a box that he has and sweeping stuff off a table. To a loot crate box.
Like, fill these loot crate boxes. And guys just. Like, that they have a. They probably have a joke to see what they can put in a thing without a complaint coming back.
You know what it is? It's a push broom and a dustpan. They show up after everyone else after it's over.
Yeah. And just put it in the box. They don't know. Spider-Man. Galaxy Quest. They can't tell the difference.
They stopped advertising.
So you saw Hamilton.
Yeah.
For the rest of us, the hard hats, the... Mm-hmm.
The gray people.
The what?
The gray people.
The gray people.
That's what Steve Rubell used to call people who couldn't get into Studio 54.
Yeah. The gray people. The tin knockers and the ham and eggers who just trying to get by from day to day. We can't afford a ticket to Hamilton. So I'd like to bring that level of entertainment. The next best thing to American history is internet comment sections.
Yeah.
Probably. It's probably current history. Like that, you learned about past history.
Yeah.
This is present history.
It's certainly where the history is being written today.
Mm-hmm. So but I know a lot of people are like, oh, I can't hang with these comment sections.
Yeah.
But what they need is they need it put in the form. They need it performed for them.
Yes.
Like that needs to be fun. The way you needed the history in Hamilton to be fun.
Right.
This is how we can get today's kids interested in comment sections.
Right. But you haven't seen it, so I should, you know, there is singing in Hamilton and rap and stuff, but we're not going to be doing that, right?
We don't have to rap. No,
it's going to be like a serious.
Yeah, we'll.
Like a dramatic play.
These are like plays, not like a musical.
Plays. Right.
Yes. So we'll go through some comment sections, and do our interpretations of them.
I saw a serious play last night. I'm very attuned to the rhythms of this kind of thing. And guess who was in it?
Who was in the play you saw last night?
The host of the ACN host, Will McAvoy.
Jeff Daniels.
I don't know who that is.
His name is Jeff. Okay.
All I know is the guy who hosts, you know, ACN, the guy gave that of inflammatory. He did that, that Q&A, at Northwestern
where he pretty much told them
that America wasn't the best country in the world. Yeah.
People did not like that.
That turned out to actually be a setup.
Okay.
That made the news as well. His boss, Charlie, it turned out, sort of arranged to have that question asked in order to sort of get Will McAvoy's,
bring him
fire
back
under his
keister. We both said keister. Same time. That's upsetting. I'm not nuts about that. So we'll be doing that during the show. I want to ask you though, Hayes Davenport, about Hollywood Handbook, the hit podcast.
Yeah, we are getting more listeners, but our advertisers have declined. Mm-hmm. We have an inverse relationship somehow between advertisers
and listeners.
Listeners. Mm-hmm. Last week we had zero.
Advertisers.
Yes.
Not listeners.
Advertisers.
More listeners than ever.
Yeah.
There was a thread I noticed, speaking of internet comments.
Yeah.
I believe it was on Reddit, where I've been on Hollywood Handbook a few times.
Yeah.
And somebody said, hey, is Tom this good of an actor?
Yeah, I saw that.
Or was he actually, like, mad when he was there?
When you did the first one, the first I think, one is what this was in reference to.
Like, was I in on the joke?
Yeah.
That, when you read something like that, are you, what's the first thing?
Well, I remember the exact thing, which was, like, some person chimed in, and it was like, no, Tom, he had mentioned the show on his show before, he knew what it was. He and Hayes know each other or whatever. There's like this whole history. He was not mad. And then a different person came back and responded like, I don't know. He sounds pretty bad. He sounds really mad.
Well, he's certainly doing and saying a lot of things that mad people do.
And I remember somebody else responded and said, he is a great actor.
Well, that is what they're going to get a taste of tonight.
Yeah.
Get ready for this. And you also performed, you and your co-partner, Sean Clements.
Yeah. Here's a little tidbit.
Yeah.
Shows you something about the relationship between me and John, how we think of each other. We had to do bio. We did this Vulture Festival last weekend, and we had to do bios for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I describe myself as the co-host of Hollywood Handbook. Uh-huh. And guess what he wrote to describe him? Host.
Host, yeah.
The host.
Mm-hmm. It's very telling.
But you said, yeah, co-partner.
Co-partner. This is a message, Sean. You got a co-host, bro. You're a co-host and you have a co-host.
He might think it's host and co-host.
Yeah, but it's he thinks you're like if you had a guitar, he would think you're like the band leader of Hollywood Handbook.
Right, yes. The
Reggie Watts.
The Kevin, yeah.
The Kevin Eubanks.
Kevin Eubanks. The whoever James Corden's guy is.
It's Reggie Watts.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, you did the thing at the Vulture Fest, as I did. I was also...
I don't know who Stephen Colbert's is.
Oh, it's John Baptiste and Almost Human.
Okay. Sorry, yes, you also did a thing at Vulture Fest.
I'm there, you're there. I noticed, though, when I went to go to the Vulture website... My picture was not apparently taken at this thing, but I noticed, there's Hayes, there's Sean, there's everyone else on How Did This Get Made?
Sure.
Oh, I guess I didn't make it to the Vulture photo booth or wherever that took place.
You saw, so what you looked at, you went to the Vulture blog, and they said, look, check out photos of all the stars who
were
at Vulture Fest.
I think they said everyone.
And you thought like, maybe it's just like hosts and no guests, but no, our guest, Alex Blumberg, was on the list.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't mention his name.
Yeah, no, but got his picture in there.
Yeah. I think you got away. I think you should be glad you didn't. Those pictures are gruesome. Sean and I were texting each other last night being sad about our pictures being.
I think they're very nice.
Too picture. Close.
I
too
think,
close up.
I think they look nice. Mike, who's good here? And then we'll start getting into the performative component of the show. Your shirts are for sale now, right? People can go to apmike.bandcamp.com and order one of Mike's, the Massa's shirts. Massa's Tavern. He works there. Now you can get the shirt. Best show.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yep, how's it going?
Oh, it's great. How are you?
Can't complain.
What's your name?
Andrew Gall.
Where are you calling from, Andrew?
North Dakota. I guess on the border of North Dakota and Minnesota.
Ah. So what can I do for you, Andrew?
Well, I wanted to wish Hayes Davenport, I hope he's having a good time, comfortable time.
Are you having a comfortable time?
Thank you, yes. Thank you for checking in on me. I am having a good time, and I am comfortable.
Yes, I am an avid fan. I'm also a gallstone on your forums.
Yeah, I know this guy. This is a sort of a new guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm new. I'm sorry.
These guys come in and out.
Oh, I'll be here to stay, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, famous last words. Yeah. Famous last
words.
Yeah,
I know.
You know what they do that's very insulting to me?
What's
a
that?
Lot of the old fans on the forums stop contributing, but they communicate with each other on like a secret, private forum.
Which means, all that means is they're complaining about you guys.
Yes,
there,
they're saying things that they don't want us to hear.
Yeah.
That's exactly
they're
right.
They're moaning about the show.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. No, I kind of want to, I'm trying to get into that. You know, I'm trying to communicate to those guys. You know, through PMs and stuff, and I can't get to them.
Yeah.
They're very closed off.
For their britches.
Well, I wish you nothing but the best of luck with that.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Kat from Raleigh.
Kat from Raleigh. What's going on in Raleigh tonight?
Well, Later in the week, I'm going to be moving to a new and bigger apartment, and I'm also getting my first car ever this week.
That's exciting. What kind of car are you getting?
A Civic.
A Honda Civic. You can't go wrong. I've had a couple Honda Civics in my life.
Yeah, literally everyone has told me about them, and that makes me feel like encouraged and good.
It's going to be good. You're going to love it. So what's going on, Kat?
Are you taking dramatic readings from listeners, or is it just you and Hayes?
I think just Hayes and myself are going to perform the Why. Do you have one you want? I would let you try one if you wanted to.
I just really misunderstood, and I feel embarrassed.
No, come on. You can do it. You can do it.
Okay, do it. Well, I was just, before I called in, I was thinking, what could I read? And I was thinking of Tumblr drama, but that's a little too either inside baseball or swearing or both.
No. It's tough to find them without swearing. I was trying to look for some, and a lot of them are very cussy.
Yes.
But then instead I thought of one I see as a gold mine is any classic rock song on YouTube. And let me just read you a couple choice nuggets.
Okay.
Are you going to be doing all the characters?
No, let me just read you a couple long ones.
Okay.
And like, why, this is on the lyric video for Stairway to Heaven.
Okay.
Why do adults make such a big deal about 90s kids actually knowing the lyrics to this song? I was in Penn Station where some people were performing the song. I started singing along, and this guy with crazy eyes comes up to me and starts asking all these questions. How old are you? Why do you know the song? Our generation isn't as lost as you think it is. There's a lot of people my age who know Stairway to Heaven. We don't live under a rock.
That never happened.
No.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But what could lead him to decide that he had to make up a story to justify asking that question? He just wants people to know that he knows the words to the song. But if he knows the words of the song, why is he consulting the lyrics video for Stairway to Heaven? It's just
the wrong place
to tell that story. Sorry, go ahead.
There's another one that says, I'm 16, and it annoys me so much when most kids of today offer my own friends on the bus saying how a new dubstep song has so much meaning and requires so much talent. Anyone can press a few buttons and make a noise that today is, for some messed-up reason, known as a song. I'm one of the only people in my school that enjoys this type of music, and I feel that it's starting to fade away. It's a shame that this type of music has played such an important role for music as a whole over the past decades, and is now being ignored in the likes of Justin Bieber and rappers that have dollar signs in their name.
Kat?
Yes?
That was amazing.
That was good. I was a lot like that kid. Specifically, because I got a compilation called Mullets Rock. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Mullets Rock.
Yes.
I think I remember the cover art. I actually very narrowly avoid being one of those kids like 12 years ago because my favorite band is The Cars, and I started falling in love with them by listening to the classic rock radio, and I had a couple months where I thought, wait, is there no good music out there nowadays? But then I heard the debut album by Franz Ferdinand, and my faith in modern music was restored.
Yes, you were off to the races then. Just like you'll be racing around in your Honda Civic! Now, Kat, you've given me the confidence to go forward with this. I'm going to do one now, so I'm going to say goodbye to you. I hope you're doing well. Please let me know how you're doing. Okay, drop me a line.
Oh, yes,
please.
Yes.
Okay, I will call.
I don't have the bubonic plague.
No, but I talked to you when I saw you. I just want to make sure you're okay. That's all.
Yes, I have good news in any case.
Good. Okay, well, let me know. I will talk to you soon.
Yes. Okay, thank you so much.
Have a great night.
Right. Bye.
Bye. I would like to read something. This is from Yelp. Charles Oakley, former power forward for the New York Knicks, has a car wash out in New York City. And this is a Yelp review from December 17th of 2015 by Blessin' G. Yonkers. 4 stars. My sister threw up in the car, so I had her buy the most expensive interior detailing that Oakley's offered. They did 4 hours of work for almost $120, and the car hasn't looked that clean in a long time. I told them to focus on the passenger seat, because that is where she made the mess. The car smelled really bad when I brought the car in, and it smelled great when it came out. But the reason Oakley's lost a star was because my mother said the car still smelled when I picked her up. I realized that the seatbelt was thrown up on and wasn't cleaned. Oakley's deserved 5 stars, but they needed to get rid of that smell. I'm having my sister scrub that seatbelt every time she gets into the car.
Did you find that? Did you go look for reviews of Charles Oakley's car wash?
Yes. That
oh,
is,
wow.
That is what made me think of this
that's
concept
great.
Was that.
That's really good.
So that's an exciting tribute
yeah.
to the cleaning of Charles Oakley's car wash. 4 stars. Not 5, though.
No, seatbelt got thrown up on.
they didn't catch the
Did
throw up
catch
on the seatbelt.
The seatbelt.
Oh, I'm here with Hayes Davenport, co-host.
Yeah.
That's right, co-host, one half of Hollywood Handbook, my favorite podcast, Hollywood Handbook. So funny. A part of the Earwolf family.
This was my, have I ever told you how I used to listen to this show? What my sort of show listening ritual was?
No.
I wasn't really working. I was like a tutor in LA, so I had okay. a lot of downtime. Mm-hmm. And every day I would go to Ralph's. You know Ralph's?
Yeah, sure.
It's
grocery store.
Yeah, it's like the Fairway of LA, okay. I would say. It's like a step down from some of the other ones. And I would get 2 things of sushi.
It's a grocery store sushi.
Yes. And mm-hmm. sit in the parking structure, like the shaded okay. parking structure,
uh-huh.
and listen to the show Ooh. In my car. And these boxes would pile up and like stale soy sauce, would, like the stench of it
were,
would
are
always
we talk,
be in my car.
Like imitation crab? Or
we, No, or just, I moved on from that. It was like your basic salmon and like tuna
okay.
rolls.
Sure. So mm-hmm. you'd be like, it's best show time.
Yeah. The Don't. Spicy ones, too, with just, mm-hmm. like, just mayo, just gross mayo.
Yeah, that orange mayo.
Yes.
Yeah. Some of that stuff, you see, it's like, ooh, it's sushi. It's just like,
yeah.
Some of it could be the worst thing for you.
And
ever.
Some of it has, like, a shiny green sort of tint
mm-hmm.
on it. That, I don't know, I guess I just hadn't had that much of the real kind, and so I just thought that was how it was supposed to look.
Dudio,
mm.
the dude who built the studio.
Yeah.
He's the guy who, missed last week's show. God knows where he was. We don't. Never heard a peep from him. Just comes in this week like nothing happened. He's like, hey. Well, hey yourself, where were you last week? And he goes, oh, here and there. He just sent me, what is this now? Chris Angel?
Yeah, so this is Chris Angel's cousin's diner in
Bethlehem. So Chris Angel's cousin owns a diner in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Billy's Downtown Diner. It's the Yelp review. So there's some Haley. How should we do this? How should we jump into these interpretive readings?
Is this a? This isn't a back and forth.
This seems like these are not. These people are not fighting, are they?
No, they're impressed.
They're just impressed.
Do it.
Okay, I'll start one, and then we'll get it started. Then we'll get it rolling. Gordon M. from Boston, Massachusetts. This is the classic 3-star review. Nothing's truly wrong with the place, but still, the same nothing jumps out at you and makes you say, yes, this is great! And you won't be telling your friend, we have to go back here! I went there with my boss while we were working at Lehigh University. The food was okay. I cannot say it was memorable in terms of flavors or textures. The restaurant was clean. The staff was friendly. I learned who Criss Angel is.
Oh, wow.
And then it ampersand trails off. I'll do one more. Bob R. 2 stars. Billy sits in a rough end of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's been around for a while, and its primary claim to fame is that Billy is related to Criss Angel, the magician. There were 5 of us there on a Sunday afternoon. The place is not very large, but it was fairly empty because of the time of day. When you enter, you're greeted by autographed pictures of all the celebrities that have been there. Some, it seems, may just be publicity photos, giving the impression they were there. Billy also seems to have a thing for Miss Pennsylvania, as many different ones are posted around the seating area. There are also several posters and photo of Criss Angel either performing or with Billy. Billy was there at the counter, talking to people, taking money at the register. I always like it when the owner is visible. It makes one think they are proud of what they built. What they've built. Restaurants are about food. Food was blah. I had a hamburger with fries. Neither were memorable. Everyone at our table felt about the same way. It was an experience seeing a new place. I don't get out that way often. When I do, there are lots of other good restaurants in Bethlehem to try out. Bob R.
That guy who went in there not knowing who Criss Angel was.
Yeah, he just... Yeah, he learned about Criss Angel. Just like, I'm going to check this
guy. Oh, okay.
Wait, mind fruit? Yeah. He's a mind freak?
I like his food. I might enjoy his magic as well.
Yeah, I like his cousin's food. If this guy's cousin is half as good at magic as Billy is at running this diner, I think I just found a new favorite magician. Hayes, is there anything you'd like to try?
Dude. I sent you one from Deadline. This is okay. Just one, like, yeah. Oh, okay. The box office, the weekly box office ones. You might have to scroll down, I don't know, I sent you a couple.
Oh, for X-Men Apocalypse.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Go ahead. You can start. This is like the weekly box office return post always has like 150 comments on it.
From people pretending to be studio executives.
A lot of those, but it's also, as you'll see, people accusing each other of being studio executives at the slightest provocation. If you offer an opinion, you are
that shades,
a paid executive. Yes.
Yeah, you're on the take.
Yes.
Okay. Anonymous. Now, this is about X-Men Apocalypse. This is the review. X-Men Apocalypse review. Marvel's New Mutant saga mixes old with new, and fans should eat it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. This one is Pete Hammond's review.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you a bunch of things. A lot of them are about Apocalypse.
Oh, this is good. So,
yeah.
Anonymous. This franchise is well and truly disappeared up its own A at this point.
Yeah. I saw it last night and I loved it. I feel sorry for all the critics who aren't enjoying it. I like your point that, hey, it is a comic book movie. I really like these X-Men movies better than other superhero movies because they seem to touch on more significant dramatic themes about human nature.
I dare you to binge watch this franchise without feeling like it disrespected your intelligence and recall.
I watched all the films before seeing X-Men Apocalypse. Quite an awesome viewing experience.
You have obviously not seen the film. Jubilee doesn't use her powers. There is no scene with her hands. Also, this is Oscar Isaac's worst performance.
I disagree. He portrayed Apocalypse perfectly. Casting was spot on.
I was surprised you gave it a positive review. It is getting savaged by critics.
This goes on forever. I sent you some other ones that I think are better, that are sort of along these lines, that are more fighty.
So you want to go to the one, here, the one that you posted into the thread?
Yes.
Okay.
I pasted it into an email.
Okay, here we go.
Yes.
You want to start it off?
Sure. Meh. After the mess that was Days of Future Past, I'm skipping Apocalypse.
Obvious Disney shill.
How old are you, 12? I have collected comics for 25 years. X-Men is terrible. Batman vs. Superman is better, and it was just mediocre. Captain America gets the characters right.
How old are you? Shills tend to be childish, immature. You are a shill, a Disney shill. X-Men is good, you're lost, but whatever. I do not care what you think, shill.
Obvious Fox, shill. Deadpool was 10 times better than X-Men, Apoca-S.
That's their play on Apocalypse.
Yes, Apoca-S
yeah,
word.
Yeah. No, no, it is not. Wait, no, no, it is not. That is the problem with today's society. Childish, crass, and not intelligent. Social media just makes it worse. X-Men Apocalypse is miles better than Deadpool.
Another egotistical moron who thinks their personal opinion is in fact so much so that those who disagree must be paid liars. Ignorance truly is bliss, isn't it? And then it keeps going. I say another. It continues.
I wouldn't call this a Marvel film since it's not part of the cinematic universe and really Bryan Singer's beast.
I don't see this. Sorry. Oh. It's in the next email.
Oh, it's in the next one. Sorry.
Yes.
Oh, the next email. Here we go. Okay. Starting with
Apocalypse was just okay.
Okay, there we go. Apocalypse was just okay. The critics have an idea that it's a step back from Days of Future Past, which I find overrated, but it's not nearly as bad. I just wanted to do well this weekend because the more this movie makes, the less Alice and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles do make.
I absolutely do not like it that Baxter Stockman, Bebop, and Rocksteady and Krang are in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Because I've wanted to see them in a live-action Turtles movies, but this looks like crap. The remake was crap. The only good one was the 1990 film. Parts of the second one. I said parts! The rest is crap. The dancing, And bits of the CGI one, the fourth movie. So yeah, I hope X-Men is number one next week, as well as this weekend.
I can't get over how stupid your username is.
I'm sorry. We have to say what his username is. Okay. The guy I was just reading. His username is only six official Star Wars movies. Episodes 1 through 6 are canon. That is all.
That's not a subject line.
That is his username.
His username.
Yes.
Only six Star Wars movies, comma, episode 1 through 6 are canon, comma. That is all.
Yes, that's his username.
I can't get over how stupid your username is. To include the prequels in anything is like announcing, I'm stupid! Ignore my opinions! The prequels. Ridiculous.
And that guy's name is Largo.
Yes.
And so this is only six official Star Wars movies, episodes 1 through 6 are canon, that is all, responding. I can't believe how stupid you are! Not noticing my username is a fact. And also cannot believe how daft and stupid you are for not noticing that the prequels are canon and done by Lucas officially and try things differently. Whereas the not canon Disney Star Wars film, a remake, just plagiarized everything from the Star Wars movies, the 6 canon ones. Episode 3 is so awesome. Your opinions are wrong because it is a fact that episode 3 is totally awesome. Disney remake Star Wars remake, ridiculous. Key Largo, 1948 film. Excellent film. Largo, you. Ridiculously stupid. Facts. That's it.
That is only six official Star Wars movies, comma, episode 1 through 6 are canon.
That is all.
That is all. Rebutting Largo.
Largo.
But also owning the Key Largo is an excellent film.
Excellent film. Yes.
But you.
Largo you.
Largo you. Ridiculously stupid.
Ridiculously stupid. That's a randomly selected Deadline.
Yes.
Box office post.
Deadline Hollywood, the website that does trade stuff, where you can get the scoops.
Yeah.
What else is good here? A couple people sent. Let's see. Let me find something here. Yelp review of the JFK Assassination Museum. All right. Let me see this. All right. I'll email you this, and then we can bounce.
Okay,
maybe
great.
We can bounce through a few of these.
In the meantime, do you want to guess some of the songs that are on Mullet's Rock?
Songs on Mullet's Rock.
I'll give you like a couple, and then I'll bet you can get the other ones very easily. There's like...
what year are we talking about?
Well, it came out in like 98 or something like that. But the songs on it are like the biggest songs of... Okay. Of the different bands of that era. Like, for example, Any Way You Want It by Journey is on there. That's a Journey song, so you don't get any more Journey songs. Smokin' by Boston.
Okay.
Not More Than a Feeling.
Yeah, no, Smokin'.
But in general, it's like the biggest hits.
Sure.
So you get three guesses, and you have to get two right.
Okay. REO Speedwagon.
Yes.
Taken on the... right? No, what is it? I Can't Fight This Feeling?
Roll With the Changes.
Roll With... See, but those...
That's like, a big one.
But it's not the biggest one.
It's pretty big. Okay, that's your one miss.
My one miss.
Yeah.
Jeepers Creepers. The Cars?
No.
They're not on it?
Hmm.
Okay.
It's two discs, too.
It's two, okay.
Yeah, so there are 35 songs.
35 songs, we're thinking Journey. Kansas?
Yes.
Is it Carry On My Wayward Son?
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
All right. I go, can't miss this one. Or I get it. I don't know what it is, but I'm...
There's a guy that, there are a couple...
Let me think. No Cars on there. For some reason, I want to go. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. That's a stupid one. I'm not going to say Dire Straits. I bet you there's no Dire Straits on there.
There's no Dire Straits.
Yeah, I'm going to say, if we're going with Kansas, then I would probably say Styx.
There is no Styx.
There's no Styx on there.
I may have misled you.
Okay, I can get this, though. I can get one. If there's, let's see. We're talking classic rock. There's probably no Van Halen on
no.
there. It's probably too expensive.
This is like mullety. There's some Southern stuff, but I don't want you to say Skinner
Flirting
because
with
the
Disaster
Skinner, the Skinner one is Simple Man. Flirting with Disaster is on Mullet's Rock.
All right, so I'm
you
safe
did it.
Then I did it.
Flirting with Disaster, baby.
You could have also said Smoke on the Water, Hot Blooded, Slow Ride, Mississippi Queen. All great options. Smoking in the Boys' Room.
By Brownsville Station.
Yes. This was the only CD I had
For a fair amount of time you would listen to.
Hold the Line, Two Tickets to Paradise.
Yeah. Toto.
Mm-hmm.
Hold the Line. Mm-hmm. Bow, now, now, now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Right?
Yeah.
JFK Museum. Sixth floor museum at Dealey Plaza. Yelp reviews. 1 star by Ben B. This museum convinced me that there is a conspiracy in the Kennedy assassination, and it's making $16 per person. Think about it, though. All the evidence is there. They take an emotionally charged event that happenstance may take place in a pretty ho-hum city, have a bunch of people with PhDs go on TV and talk about how they know better than everyone else. Must have been hard to convince them. Throw a few black and white photos on the wall and bam! You have the sixth floor conspiracy museum. It's genius. I'll sum up the museum. 3 minutes of the 60s being turbulent, 5 minutes of inspirational JFK quotes, and a couple hours of pseudo-forensics. Really? Half the museum is dedicated to sentences that start with, "Some Americans believe." JFK would probably be rolling in his grave if he weren't worried that Dallas would start charging admission to see it. Do you have it?
Have what?
Do you, I sent you the link to it.
Oh, yes. And so I'm continuing this one?
Can you do the next one? That was Ben B. One star.
What's the what's the name on the next one?
George D.
Yes. Jorge.
Jorge, sorry. Jorge.
This is a great museum that you must do if you come to Dallas. We were there for a long weekend, so the place was packed. That being said, it was still worth it. The audio tour is top notch. It takes you through JFK's early years, campaigning, presidency, death, and even some crazy conspiracy theories. It starts with a lot of pictures, and the audio tour walks you through what is going on masterfully. There is even some expanded audio, in case you want to delve deeper into any of the areas, which I did. Once you get to the assassination, the museum literally opens up. It starts with still frames from the Zapruder film, and goes directly to the AP teletype, showing the events in real time, and culminates in the corner where Oswald took the shot. It's very surreal to be there. This next part of the museum is dedicated to the investigation and all the people involved. There is a full model of the area that the FBI used to recreate the crime, and a final panel on the conspiracy theories. You must do this.
5 stars.
5 stars from Jorge.
I'm going to do Becky T. I'm going to do... Let me do a low one here. Well, everybody likes this museum. I don't know what I'm making fun of. I got to get down to this thing.
A lot of the people, I saw a lot of the people who were complaining were about the rude service.
Okay.
The security guards are very rude. I also sent you one if you want to read that someone tweeted at you that I think is pretty good.
Okay, let's do this. Let's see.
But I want to be Cash Presley 32 in this one.
Okay.
I might have to blow it up. It's kind of small.
Yeah.
This is it's a conversation on, I think, YouTube between Torterra and Cash Presley 32.
Okay. Do we know what this ties to start this discussion?
I don't know. I think it's like some kind of repetitive scenario which causes Torterra to make this comment.
Okay. What you're going to be Cash Presley.
I'm going to be Cash Presley 32.
So I'll start it off as Torterra.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day, anyone?
My favorite holidays are, number one, Christmas. Number two, Easter. Number three, Thanksgiving. Number four, 4th of July. Number five, St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. I was talking about Groundhog Day, the movie, but good for you.
I have never heard of that movie. My favorite genres are Western and comedy from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and some 90s, like Tim Allen, Robin Williams, George Lopez, Bill Cosby, Don Knotts, Eddie Griffin, Red Fox, Carol O'Connor, and the Three Stooges. My favorite movie is Bicentennial Man with Robin Williams. However, my favorite actor is John the Duke Wayne.
Huh. I would have thought that everyone would have seen Groundhog Day at least once. It's on Amazon Instant Video. I like Robin Williams, too. He was absolutely perfect as the genie.
I never saw it and never heard of it. I'm either listening to 50s rock and classic country and some other music, and watching classic TV shows from the decades I mentioned, and classic movies from the decades I mentioned. I do like some new movies, but I just haven't heard of Groundhog Day. A few titles of new movies I like are Wild Dogs, Old Dogs, Ghost Rider, Night of the Museum 1, 2, 3, Pink Panther 2, Hotel Transylvania, Paranorman, Coraline, Mars Needs Moms. New comment. Right now I'm watching Father of the Bride Part 1, and then Part 2, and after that, I'm going to watch Grumpy and Grumpier Old Men. with Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau.
Wow.
That's Cash Presley 32.
Cash Presley 32.
From future canon.
So his favorite musicians must be Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley.
Yes.
Let me just write one thing. You know what I'm going to do, Hayes Davenport?
Yeah, what?
Co-host of Hollywood Handbook, which, look, I do this segment called, what's it called? Who Sucks in Podcasting?
It's called Who Sucks in Podcasting.
You know who's never going to end up on that? Oh, Hollywood yeah. Handbook. What a relief, huh?
Yeah, there was a time before we met mm-hmm. where I think had things gone a little bit different. There were times when you were looking over lists of all the Earwolf shows.
Seeing.
And you could have... So we would never have met had you mentioned our show because I would have driven off the road.
This is you in Ralph's parking garage.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
This is how it's going.
Yeah.
I'll do both parts on this one.
Yeah.
What are these stupid podcasts? Look at this Earwolf. What are these things here? It's combing down it. Coming close. What is this? Fogel Nest Files and you now cut to the garage. That's F. That's F. H is only a couple letters. Wait. Oh, please. Don't let him. Don't. What is this other thing? Improv for humans? Oh! Oh, thank God. He didn't.
Yes. This was when we were doing the reality show, too, where I think we were just too small for you to even pay attention to. But you were going after, like, Harmar Superstar and stuff.
Well, I was not going after him, was I? I was just...
I forget.
I like him. I like Harmar.
I think that's what you said after you
I think went I after d- him. Look, me going after people
yeah.
means a lot less than when somebody actually, like, goes after somebody. It's arbitrary.
I was scared.
You Oh, please. No. Not reality show. Please don't. Please don't mention it. What's this other dumb thing here? Like, I'm... Yo, is this racist? Oh, he's at the Wise. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Dodge another pull. Beep, boop, 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 beep, beep, beep. Sean? Yeah, it's Hayes. Yeah, I sound weird because I got a mouthful of sushi. Yeah. No, salmon. No, spicy. No, the green mayo. The green stuff.
He would never ask. He would never ask me what I was
eating. I don't like it either. Oh, we just dodged a bullet, buddy. You know what I'm going to do? I went the other night to see this band, A Giant Dog, at the Cake Shop in New York City. So great. And who opened for them? That's right. None other than They Live, fronted by Pat Byrne. Who was one of the producers on this show. And I'm telling you, this guy put on such a show. What a front man. You know what I'm going to do for you, Pat? Pat? You were so good, it stays between us. What do you think of that? Yeah. I'm not even going to mention the story.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm not going to even say what it was.
He wasn't that. Come on. He wasn't.
No, you
wasn't
know.
Wasn't that good.
It wasn't. No, he was great. He was great. And he was so great, he's now exempt from the story ever being told. Sorry, but don't worry, Pat. No one will ever hear the story. But right now I'm going to play something from A Giant Dog, and then I'll come back with Hayes Davenport. This song, they did live. It's called Too Much Makeup. They're on Merge. The album is called Pile. They're so great. Here's A Giant Dog. Not a whole lot of room between tracks there. It's like that. Side one of the Raspberry's greatest hits. Anyone? No? Only me? What a good album that is. Raspberry's greatest hits. Were they on Mullet Rock, Hayes? No.
The Raspberries? No. They were not on Mullet Rock. Surrender. Working for the Weekend, of course.
Mm-hmm. Who we talked about last week on the show, Loverboy. Mm-hmm. Headband pioneers.
That's right.
Loverboy. Right, Mike? Who did we decide started the headband in rock? Not Jimi Hendrix. He was wearing a scarf. Was it Mike Reno from Loverboy?
There's Alan Vega.
I think it was Alan Vega. That's right. Sorry. I get nothing from Mike. Mike, which one was it? Was it Mike Reno? That's who you proposed. The institutional memory of the show. AP Mike, everyone. Guy's already just... He's selling these shirts over at apmike.bandcamp.com. I'm already regretting this. Selling them like crazy, these massive shirts. Unbelievable. I went to Seattle over the weekend. I was a part of the Sasquatch Festival. I'll talk about that another day. I'm not talking about it now because there will not be a show if I... open that chapter of my brain back up again. I met some nice people there, though. I love the one guy who yelled out, "You're not funny." He was a great future friend. Love him. Thank you for that, my friend. It's also nice when Savages just started playing. From the stage 600 feet away, and suddenly it's hard to hear two dudes talking on a stage. Funny how that works.
Could he have been yelling at Savages? That guy.
Well, I think they would probably say, "That's a fair point. We're not funny.
We haven't thought much about being funny."
Yeah. Oi, we're supposed to be funny.
Jenny Beth.
So flying back. Not a great weekend. I go to the movies. I see The Nice Guys, starring Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. First of all, I'll say this.
Sorry.
No, please, by
all
means.
You say Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. Mm-hmm. Gosling, Crowe, this movie's for the birds.
Oh, brother. And that's, if you like that, Hollywood Handbook. Imagine two guys doing that at the same time. When one is reloading, the other one's firing. The other one's firing, and they alternate. It's refreshing to see a movie star in a thing where I'm just like, huh? Well, I'm in better shape than that guy. Like Russell Crowe, it's like he was Gladiator like not that long ago. Now he's just like, glad I ate that burrito 5 minutes before filming started. And I might have another. I mean, but he's really good in it. And I enjoyed it so much. Maybe because I was trying to blot out the day, maybe because I love the movie. Flying back, sitting, window seat, not my call. Usually like the middle seat. I always ask for the middle seat. No, I ask for the aisle seat. Can you imagine? I want the middle seat. Wouldn't you be worried? Wouldn't you be like, we can't let you on this plane? If somebody's just like, do you have any middle seats available?
My girlfriend was booking a flight recently where only the middle seats were filled.
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, I assume it was some kind of glitch. And so she went, it was like the most convenient flight time for her, and she just went to a different flight. Because it means something is wrong.
Yeah. There's something up with this flight. Or it's like a pattern. What if it spelled something? Like the book seats spell something? Window seat. Flying during the NBA Western Conference Finals. So I'm watching nothing worse than watching the team you want to win lose on an airplane. Because there's, like, nothing you can do with it. You're just, like, squished up with the screen 3 inches from your face. You're watching Russell Westbrook jack up another three with the screens right up. Then I got to watch Mo Spates. And it goes in. And then he's, like, acting like, I knew that would happen. No, you didn't. You score 5 points a game. Well, I guess he would know. At one point, he's got to make three of the five. He's like, three-fifths of the way there. But I'm watching most of the flight. I'm watching Impractical Jokers. I watched probably 6 episodes of Impractical Jokers. Mm-hmm. And I was having so much fun watching. I was laughing. I was laughing. I had to stifle my laughter. Because it's like, on an airplane, the best thing when they have the TV for me is it's just like, oh, good, there's 8 Seinfelds on in a row. This will cover most of crossing America. So I'm watching Impractical Jokers, and then there's a scene where, because you know how the show works. They got the headset. Mm-hmm. They're saying things. They're making the other Jokers do the thing that they say. And then Joe Gatto, loses, and then you get put through the hall of horrors when you lose. So he's at JFK Airport, at the baggage claim area, and they did this thing to him where they made him put people's suitcases back onto the carousel. It's like he opens the envelope. It's just like, put people's bags back on the carousel. He's like, oh, no, not a... So he's doing so, and it was watching him do it. I started laughing. And then the final thing said that a blow-up doll is going to be coming around. You need to go get it and announce to everybody that was your blow-up doll that you checked and is coming through the baggage. I laughed so much that I hit my tray, and I had like a cup filled with seltzer on it, and it went all over. Oh, no. It fell all over my pants. I'm just like, oh, I better get up. And I'm telling you, within 20 seconds of the thing spilling, hey, everybody, this is the captain. We're heading to some very severe turbulence. So I'm gonna ask everybody just please stay in your seats for the next half hour. So I'm just like soaking wet for a half hour. Thanks, Impractical Jokers. You got me again.
Is there somebody next to you on this? Was there someone in the middle seat?
Little kid? Yeah.
So this little kid listens to you groaning through a basketball game for 2.5 hours. It's like, ugh.
This is me. Come on!
Switch to Impractical Jokers.
I'm all done. No! Oh, this is, it sounded something like, of just like, would somebody just hit Clay Thompson? Just hit him. Just once. What happened in the NBA? Who would have laid him out 20 years ago? Just let him know he can't just take open threes like that. You just pop him once. Oh, fine. It's a commercial. Oh, Joe. Oh, Joe, you're in for a good one this time. Oh. Oh, blow up doll. Come down. Hey, everyone. This is the captain. And I'm just like, excuse me, little girl. I need to. Hey, everyone. This is the captain. Me too. Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah. Someone just tweeted, Gosling, Crow, this movie's for the birds.
Yeah.
And someone also tweeted, I want to see the nice guy.
No mention of my joke.
Someone else tweeted.
Seems like a pointed omission.
Yeah. They did not credit you for that one. But they did use the hashtag that we're using tonight, which is Tom and Hayes forever, number four ever.
People have taken that as a shot at Sean.
No.
No. You can have...
Look.
Different people can be friends.
Look, Did you ask me to use that as a hashtag? Yes, you did. Is it politically motivated for you? Probably. Isn't it great when people ask and answer the question like that?
Yeah.
Is it probably a, was it a direct hit at him from your point of view? Probably. Maybe. Best show.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? To whom am I speaking?
You're talking to Dwayne the Rock Hard Johnson right now.
I could tell from the voice. This was one of the, this is a handbook head.
This is one of your drips.
No, I'm not a handbook head.
Yes, he is.
I'm a superstar of the WWE.
If only we knew what that third letter would be. Go with this comedy routine. Look, kid. That stuff might fly when you're Skyping in for one of these Hollywood handbook makeup shows, right?
Yeah.
That's like a Kevin Pollak special.
Mm-hmm.
We'll open it up to the caller, to our listeners.
I haven't. Does he do that?
No, you do. That means yeah, we just got an email. Guys.
Oh, yes. That's a Kevin Pollak special.
Sean Hayes.
Yes.
Sorry I can't make it to the show.
We'll do a new listener episode.
Yeah.
We only did one 3 weeks ago.
I will say some of the episodes of Hollywood Handbook, the John Daly episode last week, I thought was so funny.
Yeah. Great week for Podmas to take a week off, huh?
I know. Well, look at the week before. How do you think I felt?
Yeah, I know.
It's me and Klausner.
Yes. Legendary episode.
You come in. And I'm here on my home court. Dropping Tom Prescience on everybody. Blanked. Oh, don't worry. Nickelodeon has a podcast. You know, we're going to go to AV Club right now. We're going to start reading their comments. What's a good, let's look for what the perfect one. The end may be in sight for the Big Bang Theory. Let's see.
I'm going to go to what The Walking Dead's optimism reveals about Game of Thrones' cynicism.
Zac Efron's Dirty Grandpa Jockstrap is now on sale. We got to find a good one, and we'll go rapid fire. I already got in trouble with these nerds a long time ago when I read their comments and then played a slide whistle.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then they were
You're still paying for that.
They were like, then suddenly they're like, oh, why are you guys picking on, picking on us? We're just regular people. Like, I'm not a regular person. I'm just a regular guy. And I want to say this, these Golden State Warrior fans. Look, your team went to the finals. I've never seen a more victimized group of winners than these fans. Like, worry. What, are you going to make fun of the Golden State Warriors tonight? You won! You won! You're the winners. What do you want, everything? What, you want to round everyone up who was against you?
You have to love them. You're not allowed to not like this team where one guy's out there deliberately trying to cause a serious injury to everyone that he comes in contact with. He uses it as an opportunity to try and twist their elbows off.
I've watched basketball for most of my life, and this guy Draymond Green has invented a new style where he's adding elements of MMA into basketball. He's kind of like, the way MMA is like a hybrid of like karate and boxing, he's like, hey, what if we start adding elements of karate into basketball?
It's been fat. His mind is just like, it's like a reverse Jacob's ladder where he thinks he's in Vietnam.
He's kicking at everybody.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't rooting for them. You know why? I root for underdogs. Who do you think I'm going to root for? If you've heard this show, what do you think I'm going to root for? The kid who the Golden State Warriors have two dudes whose parents were NBA players. So they're out on the floor when they're four, knowing what it's like to be on the court of an NBA.
Yeah, have their own gym.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, my dad worked at a
he worked out a shooting regimen for me with Gar Hurd, the shooting
coach. Gar Hurd. Yeah. A rack of balls and a ball fetcher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guy who's sprinting and around.
How old are you?
Six.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to root for that guy. Sorry. Sorry. I root for the, cause I, you know, it's like, I feel like these Oklahoma City Thunder, where it's like, I just want to win once, Hayes. Just give me one.
Yeah.
Give me one win. I'm tired of the cereals of the world or the, what are other ones? Nerdist.
Yeah. Nerdist.
Yeah. That guy racking up win after win.
All these, these are all warriors.
Yeah, they are. He would be Klay Thompson, Chris Hardwick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the Steph Curry of podcasting? Who is that?
The Steph Curry of podcasting. Is it Rogan?
Rogan might be the Draymond Green of podcasting.
Sure, yes. Yeah, that's right. Who's Steph? That's a great question.
Who is the Steph Curry of podcasting? 201. I want to take a quick call from a friend of mine. I'm being told to go to the hotline because we have an all-star on the line. His name's Michael Slabach. Yes?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Michael. How are you? Now, for people who don't know, Michael is a hotshot and a multitasking He's a hybrid, right? A five-tool player, as they say.
I'm just doing my best, Tom. Just doing my best.
The Sharpling and Worcester box set, Michael is a producer on that and made that box possible. That would not exist if it was not for Michael. So I am eternally grateful to you, Michael, for that.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm eternally grateful that I got to make it with you guys. I still can't believe we made that thing.
I know, right? It's crazy that thing exists. So
yeah, it's amazing.
But Michael, you are also a promoter and a booker, and you have been putting together speaking of the AV Club.
Is there still a hex on them, Tom?
No, there's not. It was not a hex or a pox.
Oh, I thought it
I've
was
lifted
a pox.
The pox.
Oh,
pox. The AV Club has its fest. What is it? What is the full title for it, Michael?
It is the third annual, 26th annual comedy festival here in Chicago, Illinois. It's June 1st through the 5th, which is tomorrow through Sunday.
So it starts tomorrow and it goes through Sunday. And there's so many great people performing at this, including, I know my friend Chris Gethard is there.
He is. He's going to be here on Thursday, and he's performing Career Suicide, which is his new, I think it's running like 75 minutes.
Yeah, it's a one-man show that he's been working on for years, and everybody loves it who sees it. And I know a lot of bigwigs love it, too. So it's the kind of thing I would say you want to see it, go see it. That's what you want to see it now, not when it's on Broadway.
Broadway show. Yes.
So
well, I'm even offering for fans of the best show, you can use a discount code to go see Chris for a mere $15. You can see Chris on Thursday and just punch in the code 26comedy and you get a $5 off discount for you guys.
And where do you buy the tickets, Michael?
You can go to 26comedy.com.
Okay. And the code is 26comedy.
Yeah. I tried to make it as streamlined as possible.
Yeah, that you'd have to be. Look, if you can't put that together, you go to 26comedy.com, and then the offer code is 26comedy, and you are just like, what am I doing? You don't deserve the discount. The discount has been taken away from you at that point. It's pretty much we're holding your hand to get to that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and what can people see all the other shows up there? Michael?
Yeah, they can see all the other shows. We got Tracy Morgan tomorrow night. Joe Firestone, friend of the show. She'll be at the Hideout on Saturday. Sarah Silverman and Todd Barry and Todd Glass on Sunday. Lots of great stuff happening all week.
People should definitely, people of Chicago, if you like to laugh, you go 26comedy.com and you get those Chris Gethard tickets at a special best show price.
right? And that's this Thursday.
Yeah. It's Thursday, $48.
Look, if I was there, I would be all over that.
Well, I wish you were here. Well, it'd be fun to see you.
Well, the people of Chicago, if they know what's good for them, they'll go see Chris do his show. Chris is one of my favorite people. So, Michael, I look forward to seeing you very soon and have fun
Likewise.
With the festival. It's going to be great. You're going to have a great week
Thank
and
you,
a
Tom.
Lot of fun and a lot of All laughs. Right.
A lot of laughs. Thank you, Tom.
All right, of course. You take care, buddy.
All right, man. Matt. Talk to you soon.
I got an AV Club comment.
Oh, yeah. Which one is it?
This is from an article about how Chelsea Handler's new Netflix show has lost its showrunner.
Okay.
Recent article.
Let me find that. And we can go, like, rapid fire through these comments?
I'm just going to do it real fast.
You're going to do it. This is a solo piece.
Is that okay?
Yeah, by
if
all
you
means.
Like, if no, you like it. This, the AV Club is for you. This could be okay. an advertisement for yeah. the AV Club if you mm-hmm. like this. Comment on article about Chelsea Handler's new Netflix show. I pissed off my former roommate, a gay guy who loved her show, by calling her rough trade. I hate to say it, but without seeing her show, I find her kind of attractive. But I like girls with huge mouths. Luckily, I mean, this is almost too gross to read. And this is someone who's been on the show. Alright. Luckily, I find Vanessa Bayer much more attractive since she's also pale and redheaded. Two big pluses for me. If only she was super freckly.
Ugh.
Next guy.
If only.
Handler's very cute from a physical perspective. Unfortunately, every time she says something mean, which is far too often, she ruins that. First guy. Maybe I'd like her. Comedians are too nice nowadays. The one girl I truly was in love with had a rotten attitude like I do. If I told her she was attractive, she'd reply, Who are you kidding? I remember thinking, this must be love. One reason you're here is to make this girl see how beautiful she is. Like, 12 comments later. Right, because being prejudiced against how someone looks doesn't count when it's white people. Close. That's the end.
Wow, that is... Tip my hat to you, AV Club. I would like to do this. We'll alternate through some of this Big Bang Theory one.
Great.
If you go...
Did you send it to me?
If you just go to AV Club, it's right in the news on it. AVClub.com.
Right in the news.
The end may be in sight for Big Bang Theory. Got it?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Wait, Discus has to load.
Oh, wait for Discus.
Got it.
Okay, I'll start it off. Maybe then actually talented comedians can get a chance to win Emmys.
I watched about 10 seconds of an episode once, and my girlfriend walked in. I switched the channel faster than someone who had been caught watching depraved, possibly illegal porn.
I, too, watched 10 seconds of it, but half a dozen times. It's nerd culture viewed through your favorite Thanksgiving uncle's eyes. I don't get why everyone below 25, hell, 30, would waste their time with this show.
Those people's brains aren't fully formed yet.
I need a guilty, please. What do you want?
A guilty, please.
A guilty, please.
Still haven't even seen 1 second of it.
As seen in... Oh, wait. Where?
That's just a later guy.
Okay. Tell your girlfriend to dump you and date me. I'm fine with whatever she wants to watch, but I'm desperate.
I don't mean to be that guy, but why were you so ashamed of watching a show you'd never seen before? I don't like it myself, but I have seen it a couple times. Nothing I want to save to my depraved illegal porn folder, which is reserved for episodes of 8 Simple Rules.
You're like my friend who's yet to see any Star Wars movies and over the years has made kind of a deal of it. Not a big deal, but a deal nonetheless. As ubiquitous as Star Wars and BBT are, at some point you have to start going out of your way to not see them, and at that point you've made it a thing that you think makes you special.
I haven't seen a second of The Wire or any of the Harry Potter movies, specifically because I grew tired of everyone and their mothers telling me that I should. One day, probably when I'm 70, I'll sit down and binge watch all of them, as well as House of Cards.
Well, my imaginary daughter refuses to see any of the Star Wars movies. She hates anything having to do with outer space. She also gets extremely freaked out by any character that wears contact lenses. lenses. One time I put a...
I had a friend in college who wore the fact that he'd never seen Star Wars like a badge of honor. And then his girlfriend told him to either see it or no more Nookie. It was amazing how fast he watched the trilogy.
And then she dumped him because he was some pathetic nerd now?
Huh, well, I've seen plenty of Star Wars. Let me tell you, boy howdy, practically before you can remember anything at all, I had all the figures too. But anytime anyone brings up the show or it's on, I plug my ears and cover my eyes and scream at the top of my lungs over and over, I'm special.
I don't know. If you're a cord cutter or whatever they call people who switch to internet only because it's cheaper, CBS shows in general are pretty easy to avoid.
I watched an episode one time because I was effing around on my computer and didn't change the channel when whatever was on ended. It made me sad.
Hopefully they all die of food poisoning at the Cheesecake Factory.
No, that'd actually be funny.
Or do the mistake of consuming a wafer-thin dinner mint after eating there.
Sheldon is, what, 50 now? As the cast got older, they would have had to rename it to age-appropriate things, like, paragraph break, the Big Brand Theory.
I prefer the Big Brawn Theory. All right, I can't do this. This is truly upsetting. Are there any other ones we want to get to? Any other one? Any other comments?
Comment sections? Yeah. I don't think so.
Well, I want to ask you.
I should have prepared.
No.
I should have prepared more.
No, you did. Cross that off. Let's see here. Did that. So again, people of New York, if you're floating around tomorrow, somewhere, a Best Show logo will appear, and you will not be able to avoid it. When you see it, if you manage to see it, you'll go, doing, doing, doing. You go get your picture taken in front of it, and you send it to me. First person that does it gets a good prize. Got to hashtag it, Best Show Rules NYC. And everybody else after that, take a picture too, and then send it. And we'll put them all up, and it'll be fun. This thing's going to be nuts when you see what this Best Show logo is when it reveals itself. You will not believe your eyes. It would be like seeing. Now you see me. Three! They're making a third one.
Now you three me.
There's no way it's not that, right? And who's going to be, who's like the new person?
Who are they going to replace the one woman with?
Yeah. De Niro.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Like as a burnt out magician, right? You do magic? Yeah, a little bit. A little bit of magic. A little bit. I'm watching you. Right, he does
he
that.
He doesn't even, you see, like, he's just standing still and you can see that they've CG'd him, like, raising his arms for the birds to come out.
Yeah.
Bim sala bim.
And they're just covering. He's not moving at all. He just, like, they just filmed him in a car doing his lines. Like,
yeah.
That they just, like, all right, we got your head. Maybe Jesse Thorne is Steph Curry of podcasting because he's younger than he seems, from the Bay Area, and overly nice. Well, I'm going to say Jesse Thorpe is not the Steph Curry of podcasting because he worked for what he had. And didn't start on third base.
Mm-hmm.
Who's like second gen podcast? Imagine that now. Second generation podcasting.
No, it's me, Tyler Rogan. You know, my dad Joe had a pretty popular podcast. He's in the deprivation tank right now.
Dirty magician. That's what Lil Chomps says. That's what it would be called.
Dirty magician.
Dirty grandpa. I'll never see it. I will see that new one, though. Looks super fun.
Mike and Dave?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Need wedding dates?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like when you can tell when a line was improv'd.
When, yes.
If you see two different trailers and TV commercials, you see three different answers to a situation that they're just running all the improv takes through the thing. Because Adam Devine, what's her face? Ashley Tisdale, is that her name, right?
Sure.
She gets her face run over by an ATV.
I know the line that you're talking about.
And he's like, oh, looks like you were cooking meth and the bathtub blew up. Or look like a burrito that somebody like dissected.
You look like burn victim Barbie.
Yeah.
Cut to innocent black bystander. And you can be black Ken. End of trailer.
Yeah.
God forbid this guy is just allowed to stand around without his race being called out in this
pointed
movie.
Out. Yes. Yeah. You're not just a person there. It's sick. And this is what's sick about Hollywood. And this is why Burn It Down. His concession speech. The one banner says, feel the burn.
Yeah.
It's going to drop. And then the next one, it's just going to say, burn it down. It
starts with a whisper in the crowd. Burn it down. Burn it down.
Burn it down. Burn it down.
Burn it down.
His hair catches fire.
He starts with himself.
Yes.
Like he's going to start.
Mm-hmm.
He turns himself. He's like, it's time to burn it down. Yeah. Starting with me. That's like, then he does it.
Yeah.
And then you realize he's okay. And it's Now You See Me 4. Bernie Sanders is in it. Right? What if he's the new person in the Now You See Me franchise?
He replaces Lizzie Kaplan. Oh, because him.
You just see the poster just like.
Yeah, all their faces there.
Dave Franco, Jesse Eisenberg, Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine, Bernie Sanders, Ilsa Fisher. Mike? Shirt still selling? What? Like hotcakes. Can we move on from like hotcakes as any sort of reference point for anything? Was that just like a Great Depression kind of thing?
Yeah, when it was like the only food.
Yeah. Oh, you sound like hotcakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only thing you could get. People are going to buy them. People were hungry back then. Best show.
Hi. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great.
This is Andy from Los Angeles.
I knew it.
Yeah. You know it? Because these guys, these Hollywood Handbook fans, they just talk right over me.
Sorry.
This guy's nervous.
What's your name again, bud?
This is Andy from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Just moved here.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you a fan of this show or just Hollywood Handbook?
No, I'm a huge fan of the best show, though I did find out about you guys through Hollywood.
Well, I'll take that. I'll take it. Did you ever hear the story about when me and Hayes went to the haunted prison?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I know you guys, both of you, well enough to not pull that kind of thing.
When I went there, and then the guy was like, are you Hayes from Hollywood?
No, he did it in a monster voice. He goes, is your name Hayes?
Oh, that's right, he started, yeah. He started. And then you're like, well, you definitely know this guy. And he's like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, sure. I guess. Well, you guys go in now.
I think he was worried about being heard not being a monster by supervisor.
No, I think he was caught. He was caught. Another handbook head. Now, I'm going to say this to all you Hollywood Handbook fans. You know how you listen to the show? By listening to it.
How do I listen to the best show?
There's a new thread every week.
How do I listen to it?
Another one is like, how do I get in?
Yeah, how do you get? You listen to it, and then you're in. It's like, how do I get into this Cheesecake Factory?
Yeah. Like, you'd never ask that about, like, Fat Man on Batman or something. Yeah. Like, what do I need to know to get into this, this show?
Yeah. How do I get into this doctor's office? I need some medicine. But I'm not sure. It seems very... seems like there's an outer doorway and then a vestibule. And then, like, I can see a desk through the second doorway. And I just don't know if it's worth it.
Hi, Andy.
What's going on?
Best show.
Hi,
Hi, Tom. Hi, Hayes. This is Greg Elator.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
For people who don't know, a lot of people call this show. We get of all walks of life, we got, and somebody says here that the Doughboys are the Splash Brothers of podcasting.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
Like, yeah.
Didn't necessarily earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Just suddenly like a flush of success, and then they're at the top of the heap. While you got guys like me, what would I end up? I'd end up being like Vince Carter. Like,
a guy just, who never.
Like, wait, he's still in the league?
Yes.
He still plays? Oh, yeah, he still plays. He's still score 11 points a game sometimes. Yeah. Three threes and two foul shots. Greg, but this guy who's on the line right now, his brother, and he'll be the first to let you know it, is Chris Gethard, the comedian.
The aforementioned Chris Gethard.
I'm amazed that you didn't mention him already. I thought there was some sort of legal element to it, because you usually are in such a rush to throw out your name. It's like, hey, I'm Greg. My brother is Chris Gethard. Gethard is
yeah.
how you usually.
There's
some version of that is how you introduce yourself.
No litigation pending currently between us or anything like that. But I had a good one for the topic. I have an excellent comment in front of me.
Let's hear it.
It's from a website I found a few years ago called modernbutlers.com. And it's a website, it's a trade industry website for butlers, servants.
Modern butlers. They
have a message board in which the guy who runs the page, who is the leader of the International Institute of Modern Butlers, will respond to your questions if you have any.
Okay.
And I have a question from someone who asked him what's the best way to ask your master for a raise. And the answer from Stephen Ferry is almost always a tricky situation that most of us meet when our employer is not the type to keep track of such matters. I understand one lady's maid stayed with her employer for four decades or so without reaping so much as a single pay raise. I think that betrays not so much loyalty as self-abnegation. So to your question, timing is important. Pick a moment when you have had the opportunity to wow your employer in some fashion and you know he is relaxed, happy, and with nothing else on his mind or agenda. May I have a few short words with you, sir, followed by, I was wondering if you were happy with my service over the last 3 years and feel I have moved beyond the initial trial period, whether you'd consider an increase in my salary. I am not seeking an answer now, but would appreciate you considering the matter, followed by, may I freshen your glass, sir, and then leaving.
Wow. Is there anything? Well, thank you for reading that. What I want to know, is there anything on Modern Butler, if you as a butler suspect that your master is Batman,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you're just like...
That's the dream.
He pulls a statue. He pulls a head of a statue away and then there's like presses a button underneath it. The door opens. He goes through it. It shuts. I don't know what's going on down there. I hear a lot of rumbling underneath the mansion. First of all, the mansion's built on top of a cave. I thought that was weird when I took this butler job, that the mansion's on top of an enormous cave.
Yet near a city.
Near a city. He goes down there a lot. And then when he comes back up, he's usually really bruised and sore. Like, it looks like he's been in fights when he comes up. Would you then, like, I guess my question is, is my master Batman?
My friend posted on Modern Butlers and got banned from it. I've been banned from it roughly like 2 dozen times for posting questions.
Yeah, there we go.
And one of the questions we asked was, what should I do? My master is having multiple guests from our community in the house, and there was a recent murder, and I have reason to expect all of them could be suspects in this murder.
So you were threading through the idea of Clue into this modern butler
message board.
Yes. And what did they say?
He was quick. I was responded with, ha, ha, ha. And then my friend was no longer allowed back onto to post on Modern Butlers.
I have a feeling that banned over 24 times for Modern Butler has worked its way into Greg's introduction along with
my brother.
My brother's Chris Gethard. I've been banned over 24 times for Modern Butler.
Gethard.
Yeah. It's like number three in my things I like to introduce myself with. One, famous brother.
Yeah.
Two, Modern Butlers. That's kind of all I have really going for me in the icebreaker world right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Modern Butler. So, what if that's a spinoff from Modern Family? Right? Right? Modern Butler would be...
They introduced the butler on, like, the last episode of the show.
Yeah. Like,
Ed O'Neill's butler.
Ed O'Neill's like, hey, this is my butler. Hi, the butler. And she's just like, hi, Manny. Where's the butler? And then they're like, we're going on vacation. And then it's like,
butler, like, house to himself.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Wait, what song is that? Is that from
Old Time
Rock
and Roll?
What, do that again?
Dun, 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 dun.
I thought you went up with it. I was like, are you sure that's... So was that from Mullet Rocker?
I don't think that was on Mullet's Rock.
Okay. See, if I was going to sell the music for Old Time Rock and Roll, I would go... Dun, 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 dun.
I forgot that.
Because you went... Dun, 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 dun. I was like... What is it?
I lost the thread in the middle.
What is it? A Hash Pipe by Weezer?
Oh, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. What if that, well, that would be good, though, if the butler suddenly is he's just like, I believe the master has left the premises.
You hear a bubbling sound?
Yeah. Right. He's just like, and then he's like, putting like shredded cheese all over like Doritos and puts it and pulls it out of the microwave. He's like, dinner is served. As he's like, which is also the sound I do when I picture somebody getting stabbed in the throat.
Oh, that's right. That's yeah.
Greg.
Tom.
You later. What's up, bro? What are you doing? Are you being all right? You run hot and cold sometimes. I feel sorry for your poor wife.
I know she's out of town, so I can call in tonight. So I'm not waking her up or anything like that. Yeah, no, nothing going on. You know, your topic tonight I think was kind of in my wheelhouse. Having possibly been banned for more message boards and comment sections than anyone other than maybe Mike, because I imagine he's been banned from a bunch. You know, this one hit home. This one really hit home for me. And I just wanted to bring in the world of Modern Butlers to the rest of, if anyone is out there interested in being a butler, modernbutlers.com, the form is very helpful, and Stephen Ferry is very prompt with responses, even though no one has asked a question on this page since 2013.
Uh-huh.
Mike's been going on PTSD message boards lately.
You mean with his military?
Yeah,
it's
part of the stolen valor thing. Yeah, says he has a musket ball in his foot.
How can I get his aid?
I want to make some fat bucks off this. Yeah.
You should have seen him. Military, naval whites, walking down Houston Street.
Hmm.
He was trying. Got into Mercury Lounge. He walked in.
Wow,
for free. He went to Mercury Lounge. You know, he ordered an Amstel Light, and he didn't pay for it. He said, "What did he say again, Mike? Put it on the house." All right, my friends.
Thank you, Tom.
What's that?
Oh no.
All right, this final call, then we'll say goodnight. Best show. Welcome. Hello? Hi? Yes? No? I hear you. You're there. Oh, you chickened out. Probably one of these Hollywood handbook listeners.
I can do this.
I'm gonna, okay. Hayes is on the show. I'm gonna... Hey, Hayes. Hey, Hayes. Hi, Tom. Hi, Hayes.
Hi.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Hayes. Best show.
Two and a half hours on hold.
He's like, 2.5 hours, like, what up?
All right. My friends, the best show. I'm pulling the plug on tonight's episode. Thank you, first of all, to Tim Heidecker for calling and being a part of the show. We appreciate that, Tim. Thank you to Michael Slabach and the code again. I wish I could. Why can't I remember the dumb code? What was it?
26 comedy.
26 comedy.
Yeah.
Over at 26comedy.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you go get, you can get Chris Gethard tickets for Thursday at a special best show rate. And thank you, Hayes Davenport.
Thank you, Tom. Almost 1 year into our, or about exactly 1 year into our friendship.
Yes.
What a nice way to
Can
celebrate.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
It is like our anniversary,
yeah.
Right?
Because I don't call the beginning of our anniversary when we met.
Mm-mm. No. No. No, it was when that spark happened, right?
Yeah. It was about 3 weeks.
You can't start a fire without a spark,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's that, Mike? The boss. Still selling those dumb shirts? Everybody go to apmike.bandcamp.com. He's selling shirts, Massa's Tavern shirts there. You can get them. And in all seriousness, you should buy the shirts. They're really cool and they're really nice shirts. And they are, if he's out of stock, they will be filled very quickly and they will go out in a prompt manner, but this is like a new thing. So if not everybody's going to get the shirt tomorrow. So just like we're figuring out the inventory on it, but the main thing is to order it. That way we can know how many to have printed beyond what we have now. apmike.bandcamp.com. What did I miss here? Why don't spammers hire me to do punch up? Okay, I can talk about that next week. Gonna mop up the suckers. That can be next week. Desi Arnaz, can talk about that next week. Pat, the story. That is on hold. I'm never telling the story. And again, people of New York, somewhere in tomorrow, a Best Show logo will appear. If you get your picture taken in front of it, tweet it out to me. First one wins a prize. I am going to say goodnight, and I'm going to play on the way out something from... We got a big show for you next week. Big show, big show. I'll announce the guests later in the week, but big show. This is going to be one... It's gonna make this show look like just a pile of trash. This show, you're just gonna be, what was last week? I don't know. This week's show's what matters. Last week's show, I don't care. I'm all about this week's show. I'm on team this week's show.
Well, I'm on team last week's show.
Well, you're on the wrong team.
Boo.
Boos. Boo. I'm gonna play one more time. OBN3s, I love them so much. They are from Texas. This is from their single on 12XU Records. This is On the Verge of Collapse. Listen to this. Best Show will be back next week. Thanks for listening.